tonight, pandemonium in Sacramento. I'm going to be up front here and say that we've all been surprisingly busy and are cutting it way too close to deadlines, but the show must go on. Stay tuned for all the news that we are here to cover, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 776 for this May the 12th of 2019. And I'm half laughing and half tongue-tied because everything that Jason said there in the intro tonight, accurate, completely accurate. But joining me for this mass hysteria of what's going on before the show tonight, Techmaster Loki joining me here in studio.
Hello.
Hello, I'm how here. Are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Part of the craziness tonight, not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She had a conflict with some Mother's Day plans, things going on, so she's not going to be able to join us tonight. We wish her well, of course. And, of course, to all our mothers out there celebrating, all our gaming moms and mom figures and so forth, a happy Mother's Day to all of you. And for those folks who aren't so into today for a variety of reasonable reasons, I see you, and I hope you're doing okay today. But anyway, Loki, how has your day been? Busy? Because mine's been pretty busy.
It wasn't that busy. Yeah. I didn't do a whole lot, just chores. I went and grabbed groceries and did laundry and took the kids to the park briefly and did some work. And had to settle for crappy Subway. because I thought there's even more traffic because Google Maps is telling me it's going to take 40 minutes to get here.
Yes, and meanwhile, by the way, there was a shootout on the freeway not far from where we record OLR, and I was like texting Loki. I was like, yeah, it took me 30 minutes to get downtown earlier when it should take me like 10. Might want to just be careful getting out here. And I guess that just cleared up, but yeah.
So I went to the Subway that's by my work because that's on the way. And for no reason other than just to inconvenience my life, they decided to be closed. Even though they're technically open because their hours say open, I don't want to work.
Yeah.
And so
we're not coming
in
today.
So I was like, of course this would happen. I never come here, but then of course now it happens like this. So then I went to another Subway and I got my sandwich and it's as subpar as I remember it.
Okay.
Yeah,
you got real problems with your sandwiches. I should mention, so even though Dark Sakura sadly not here tonight, we are going to be joined partway through the show by VX Jason XV, or Jason, our voiceover guy. And let me tell you what a stud Jason is, because the bumper that we have tonight, he does for Twitch, we do these little You Can't Do That on Television parodies. They don't carry over to the podcast. It's like a 5-second special thing for Twitch. And he does the videos for that. And he does our intros, which everybody does here on the podcast and everything. He actually uploaded those from the road. He's like in Truckee right now, which is up the hill. And like he said he got on a Safeway Wi-Fi and uploaded those videos. And then he's actually like coming down the hill right now. He's going to be here at OLR Studio in probably about an hour. Probably around the time the Classic Game of the Week is going, he's going to pull in here and he'll be able to join us for the second half of the show. So that's
– yeah.
I think it's funny because of his intro. He's like, I don't have really time to do an intro tonight. And I'm like, I'm okay with it. I think it's hilarious. And then me. So here's the thing. So I've been gaming today too. And this does relate to video games, of course, because of course we are the show where every gamer has a voice. And we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice of Geeks Network, available at vognetwork.com and live on Twitch every Sunday night and other nights throughout the week too with hosted programming, twitch.tv/vognetwork. That's VOG Network. And that's the same place where we read our lovely live chatters. But today was kind of an Ingress day. You know, the mobile phone game I've been playing for a while. Before there was Pokemon Go, the same company made a game called Ingress, and it's doesn't have as many people, nearly as many people playing it, but it's got, I guess, cult popularity, if you will.
I played it briefly today.
And they released an anime. I haven't watched it yet, but there's like an anime that just came out on Netflix.
It's a show. It's certainly a show.
It is a show. That's what I've heard. It's a show. But it's been a busy day for that because they did what's called Mission Day. So, long story short, you do these, you know, the game encourages you to go out and, like, explore different parts of the town. So here in Sacramento, we have historical places like Sutter's Fort with the Gold Rush, the Delta King, the boat hotel that's, like, on the river and so forth. So these missions kind of encourage you to go to those places and hack these portals, and you get little things for your profile. And, you know, you basically get a little virtual badge, like an achievement, if you will. Like, you participated in a mission day. Good for you. EPS plus one. Yay. So there's that. And then at the same time, they do this thing called NL1331X or something like that. It's the van. There's this Ingress van that travels around the nation, and it happened to be in Sacramento today. The same day as Mother's Day, the same day as the Amgen bike race is going on right now, which is a pretty big deal downtown. The same day as what's that fucking auction show on PBS that everybody goes crazy about? Because they're at the Crocker Museum right now. Antique Roadshow, is that it? So that's going on right now. And so it's like everything that could possibly happen in SAC is going on right now. But it just so happens this van decided to swing by. And people just go to the van meetup. Why? I don't know. It has something to do with the story, but who cares about lore? So that all was happening. So the van thing was from 3 to 6. So they just wrapped up. So I had to like drive down, check in, get my virtual badge, and come right back to get set up for the show. So I've been very busy myself today. But it's good. It's good. I've been out, been moving, been walking, seeing some people I haven't seen in a little while. So everything's been good. So anyway, going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf says, but I thought Sacramento was a cow town. Well, you know, that's what all the people in the Bay Area used to say, yet they're all moving here. I wonder what that's about. There's a couple of cows here, but it's actually a pretty big town, all things considered. It's like the number 20 market. TV market in the U.S. It's a pretty big city, believe it or not. Anyway, speaking of TV and entertainment and things,
Sacramento's not
on,
a cow town. That's Vacaville. That's
exactly. All the cows went to Vacaville and Dixon. Speaking of TV and media and things of consumption of entertainment, there's a big movie that came out this week that a lot of y'all are talking about. It is a movie starring a Pokemon, but the Pokemon look very, very real. It is called Detective Pikachu, and I think many of you saw it this weekend. Don't worry, I'm not going to get into spoilers. So if you didn't see the movie, don't worry. We're not going to ruin it for you because I know not everybody can get out to the movies this weekend. But the movie did very well. It came in number 2 at the box office with $58 million, which actually is still considered very good, even though you might think, oh, but number 2. It did get beat by Avengers Endgame, but seeing as Avengers Endgame is about – if it's not already – like one of the top 2 movies of all time. It's about
I think
to
be. It's like it's beat Titanic.
Yeah, and it might even end up being number 1 pretty soon. So, I mean, Avengers Endgame is obviously huge right now. So any movie that goes up against it's going to struggle. But $58 million going against that really isn't bad. It did very well for a video game movie. I think it's worth saying it reviewed well for a video game movie. I mean, it's not going to win an Oscar. Well, when it comes to visuals and those sort of techie awards, it might. I don't know. But acting and story, it ain't gonna win an Oscar for that. Like, let's be real. But I saw the movie, which for those that know me, I very rarely get out to movies at all. But I did go see Detective Pikachu, and you did as well, right, Loki?
Yeah.
So what did you think? Spoiler-free review. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I've never played the game, so I don't know how closely it follows that storyline, but I thought it was entertaining.
I have not played the game either, but my understanding is that it does deviate a bit from the game. Like, there's ideas in the game that kind of come over, but it, like, if you've played and beat the game, there's some story changes that are going to be, like, and my understanding is, like, there's a character that's way more prevalent in the movie than they are in the game, and some little changes like that. Mm. But, you know, again, I'm not familiar with the game myself. But I sure enjoyed the movie. I did. What I loved about the movie is that it didn't apologize for Pokemon being real, and they always have been real. And I will say, actually, probably like one of my favorite parts of the movie was the first 5 minutes, which I don't think it's too spoilery to say, like, instead of just kind of like jumping right into the scene where the movie takes place, you have some exposition, you have some setup that's a little more like the Pokemon you might be familiar with, that you actually go out into the world and catch a Pokemon and try to imprison it in the ball and that whole thing. And they actually like kind of do this, and you're looking at this going, these are like grown-ass adults going out trying to catch Pokemon. And I'm kind of like, oh, just like Pokemon Go is.
Oh, this is what I look like. Yeah. Oh, no.
But as an adult who does go out and catch Pokemon once in a while through a cell phone, I kind of lived for it. Like, I loved it. And, you know, they do this little setup and they're, I don't think this is a spoiler. I can say they're showing like caveman type pictures, like trying to explain like hieroglyphics, right?
Yeah.
And the Pokemon are just there in the hieroglyphics, right? Again, this is all in the first 5 minutes, so I'm not ruining anything. So I just love that. Like, I just loved how it's like, hey, Pokemon are real. Now, you don't ever see a cat or a dog in the movie. Like cats and dogs, the domesticated animals we think of, just don't exist. Like, every bird is a Pidgey or a Spearow. Every place you would expect to see a puppy, you see like a Bulbasaur or something else. You know what I mean? So it does make some changes to society as we know it. But I liked it. Like, I was just, yeah. And I thought, you know, the story wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. The ending, you know, or I should say the end sequence, the last third got a little bit like, you know, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was just a little like, okay. You know, interesting. Yeah. But I loved how it ended. And that's obviously, I won't keep a spoiler for it, but I loved how it ended. I thought the ending was like, and you don't usually say that about like movies and especially games that become movies, but I really liked how it ended. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And chat, please respect and don't spoil nothing. So, I understand they've already greenlit the sequel. They greenlit the sequel before this came out. So they made the right call. Because this did well at the box office and it's getting like an A-.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Considering. But okay. I'll have to see how that, and maybe we'll get Detective Badoof after all.
looking at comments over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network, Bobby Blackwell says, my main comment on my show is that Danny DeVito could not have been Pikachu in the story they chose to tell in the movie. It would have to be a different story. I kind of think I know where you're going with that, and I get it. Yeah, no, I'm fine with Ryan. Like, I
but
was definitely
perhaps Danny DeVito could be Detective Badoof.
Why couldn't Danny DeVito be in the sequel as a different Pokemon? I would actually like totally live for that. I think that would be great. So you never know. You never know. After all, Danny DeVito was in the Batman sequel. Anyway, let's see. Tiger Claw Chat says, having seen Detective Pikachu, does it want you to get the actual game now that you know what happened? I have to be honest. No. Like, I feel like I'm in the Pokemon universe enough with Pokemon Go and playing the mainline games and playing Let's Go Pikachu. I don't really feel the need to seek out the Detective Pikachu 3DS game and go back and play it. I mean, if a free copy ended up in my lap, I would probably check it out. But the reality is, you know,
are you going to get the oversized amiibo?
My 3DS is kind of gathering dust at this point, so they would need to re-release it on Switch, which I don't know if they would do that or not. Would I get the oversized amiibo? Sure, it was cute. I like the oversized amiibo. It was cute. So, Act Deft in chat says, no Vulpix, though. 0 out of 10. Worst movie ever. Yeah, you're not going to see every Pokemon. But
maybe it was there just in the background somewhere. Who knows?
It doesn't rely on just Gen 1 Pokemon either. Like, other generations of Pokemon play a very big part in the story. I think everybody kind of generally knows because you've seen the trailer. Apoms, the monkeys with the hand, the fighting monkeys with the hand, they factor into the story. That's a Gen 3 Pokemon? 3 or 4? I think it's 3. Snubbull factors pretty heavy in the story. That's Gen 2. And there's others as well. So most of the generations of Pokemon right on up through, I think even 6 and 7 are represented. So they, you know, and again, not all of them, because there's like, what, 750 Pokemon. So not every Pokemon is represented, but there's a good smattering of the different generations. And it's not just like all Pikachu. It's just Pikachu's the main character, obviously. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Also in chat, Tiger Glass says they need to do a Pokemon movie about Ash. You know, with how well this did, it's possible. I don't know. Do you think it would be interesting to go back and tell the story of the anime and Team Rocket and
all that
stuff?
I would like a new story that's still in the same universe that has Ash and stuff. Maybe we don't have to retell the whole thing, but just have Team Rocket in there and have all, but like a brand new story.
You know, I kind of like, I will say one thing that I kind of like what they did, because remember when they first announced the Detective Pikachu, I think a lot of us were going, why are you adapting the spinoff? Why aren't you just adapting, if you want to make Pokemon real, adapt the main games or adapt the anime? You already have, like, why are they doing Detective Pikachu? But I have to say, I get it. Like, because they adapted that, they were able to kind of take some light liberties with the story to make it work better as a movie. Yeah. I think they were able to bend a lot of rules that people would expect if they had just made the games or made, you know, that. And I think that allowed this video game movie to work. So isn't that interesting that sometimes the more successful video game movies are based on not so popular video games? I mean, that hasn't always been true, but the Super Mario Brothers movie, we all know that was a flop, right? But like Silent Hill, I thought was probably the best video game. Not everybody agrees with me, but I thought it was probably the best video game movie. And that, you know, isn't as big as
they have like a kind of a teaser. And like within the first 30 seconds, it kind of shows what that would kind of look like anyway.
Sure.
Too, with like some of the battling and everything. So that was pretty awesome.
Sure. Sure. So anyway, you know, again, I'll stop talking about the movies. I don't want to give anything away, but I, you know, kudos. I thought the team did a good job, and it's not often we can get on this show and say this was a video game movie that was good. Like, I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. But it was, I liked it well enough. And I think it is up there with like Silent Hill and Mortal Kombat. And in fact, I mean, here's the thing. I really like Silent Hill probably more than most people did. So like Detective Pikachu's on like that same level as Silent Hill. But some of y'all I know didn't like Silent Hill, so you might think that's not exactly a compliment. But I really like Silent Hill, so I think it's right on up there about the same level as Silent Hill. And I'll go see the sequel for sure. And now I'm kind of curious, like, huh, maybe this is going to get people interested in adapting video games as movies again, and maybe they'll be, you know, maybe now it'll be about adapting maybe some lesser-known games but that have very solid stories. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. So.
Until they see Sonic the Hedgehog, and then they're like, "Oh, right, that's what most of them end up like."
Sonic, the Sonic movie ruins everything. Well, no, I don't know. It's too early to say that.
We gained all this ground, and then they brought it all the way back.
I don't think Sonic's going to perform on the same level as Detective Pikachu,
no.
But I don't think it's going to flop by any. It does,
oh no!
It still has Jim Carrey. It's still a property that a lot of people know, so parents are going to be willing to take their kids. So you know, and I don't want to retread the Sonic ground because we talked enough about that last week. But I don't think Sonic's going to flop. I think the internet's giving it a lot of crap, but I think at the end of the day, it will do well enough. But it's not gonna beat this Detective Pikachu. But it's not gonna flopzilla like the original Mario Brothers movie or what video game movies have really underperformed like Prince
Double
of Persia.
Dragon.
Oh, Double Dragon. Yeah, it's not gonna be a Double Dragon flopzilla or anything like that. Or the Street Fighter movie, I don't think did very well for its time.
Yeah. Both of them.
So
remember, there was a Chun-Li
Street Fighter
film.
I know. I never saw it. I'm probably lucky. Anyway, so there's other Pokemon news, right? So while we all have Pokemon fever, this is a great time to talk about other Pokemon things going on. Not even
yeah.
Gen 8,
so there's a brief announcement that they're going to be working on a new mobile game for. Yeah, it's basically the Pokemon Company and DNA that are teaming up to make a new mobile game that's going to release to smartphones by next year. But there's nothing other than that they're making one, so we don't know what the hell it is.
So Pokemon games on mobile, far from a done deal, even though we have, you know, Pokemon Go obviously is kind of the behemoth right now. But remember, there are other Pokemon games that exist. There's that silly Magikarp jumping game. I don't remember what it was
Magikarp
called. Splash
Leap or something
like
that.
There's that. There's the Match 3 game that was on DS. They put on mobile as well. So, you know, there are other Pokemon games on mobile. So it, you know, makes sense. Well, isn't it interesting that here we are all these years later and Pokemon is still a big deal? I think that in and itself is kind of noteworthy, right? Like, this is a video game franchise. These are characters that have been around a very long time. I mean, the Pokemon game started in what, like 97? Right? And the anime and all that? Because I remember it was like my first year of college. Maybe a little sooner, actually. Maybe a couple years before that. But, you know, it was the mid to late 90s. And Pokemon has had that kind of staying power where, like, you know, it's still a box office smash.
I don't even think it's necessarily staying power because now it's like it's getting new followers and new fans of the game because of their other spinoff games that they've done, like Pokemon Go or Pokemon Let's Go, which is kind of a retread of the first game. So I think you have all that to thank for it as well.
What is it about Pokemon that people just love? Is it that the characters are just cute? Is it just we can't get enough of how adorable Pikachu is and when they Pika and the little ways they talk? Like, what is it about Pokemon that just people are still crazy about 20 years later? And
people think they're cute. I don't
know. People just think they're cute.
People think they're cute.
Is it weird to say that when you watch the movie, you can't help but go, I want to go to this place. I want to go to this place where all these, you know, creatures are like real and adorable and all that stuff. One of the scenes that really sold me on how Detective Pikachu kind of nailed it in the Pokemon formula, and I'm not ruining anything because you can actually see this scene in the trailer, right? Everybody knows the Jigglypuffs in the movie, right? So there's this scene when they go to like a nightclub or a seedy bar type of thing, right? And you can see the Jigglypuff, and it's not the focus of the scene. It's just like establishing that we're at a CD bar. And so you see Jigglypuff singing karaoke, like kind of like, you know, yeah. And see the thing, and there's a guy just dead ass asleep on the bar right there. And they don't acknowledge it. They don't talk about like, oh, it's funny because Jigglypuff's voice puts people to sleep. It's just one of those things where if you have a base familiarity with Pokemon, that's really fucking funny. That the guy's asleep on the bar right next to the Jigglypuff singing. So I just love that. And yeah. So anyway, looking in chat. Oh, I'm sorry. ActDef says it's a cafe, not a bar. Sorry. It is a family friendly movie. I'm sorry. It's a cafe, not a bar. It looked like a bar to me. Come on. All right. It was a coffee bar. The Solar Bear in chat says, I'm actually upset how little of Jigglypuff there was. Hey, a lot of Pokemon got cut, so we were blessed just to have that one scene. Although it would have been even better if she drone on somebody's face with a marker and that whole thing. I also want to acknowledge chat because we were talking about the video game movies and how sometimes lesser known games might make for better stories. But multiple folks in chat were bringing up Uwe Boll, right? The curse on video game movies, right? And Uwe Boll kind of like his MO was adapting lesser known video games and really fucking them up, like Blood Rain the House of the Dead was one. They did the Alone Dungeon the Siege, right? Yeah, Alone in the Dark. So I guess maybe Uwe Boll kind of ruined that whole thing with lesser known video games. But I mean,
it's been a long time.
It has been a while. Uwe Boll's kind of been laughed out of the industry at this point. I don't think he's really doing anything with movie making these days. So I think we've had time to recover. And obviously,
and Postal. He did Postal.
But Pikachu is also, or excuse me, Pikachu and Pokemon in general are a very different type of franchise than all that crap. He was adapting a lot of more adult R-rated types of things, right?
He was basically, what he did is like, I want to make this type of movie. Which property can I buy that I can use to make this type of movie? And then he would do that. Yeah. Like, some of them made no goddamn sense. Like, for example, I want to make a Western. So which property should I purchase to make a Western?
Gun.smoke.
I know. How about Blood Rain? Because that was the third fucking Blood Rain movie, and it was goddamn awful.
See a Tiberian chat says, how can I fit Tara Reid in? Well, I mean, Tara Reid should be put in every movie.
And I got to interview him, so that was fun.
He was at a convention here in Sacramento like last year or the year
before. Yeah, I don't fucking
care. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was like, I had other plans. There was an Ingress van or something. Let's see. The Solar Bear in chat says, now that you've said his name three times, he'll be back. Thanks, Rob. Well, sorry about that. But I think there's going to be other people eyeing video game movies right now because of how well Detective Pikachu did. And we already know there's a new Mario Brothers movie. Obviously, Hollywood wants you to forget they ever made a Mario Brothers movie with, you know, Dennis Hopper and Bob Hoskins. And, you know, that they're never going to acknowledge that again. So they're basically doing a new Super Mario Brothers movie that's animated. That's the thing we know is coming. Is that next year? Is it 2021? But it's in the near future.
Yeah,
I can't remember if that's a 2020 film or 2021, but it's coming. So, you know, it'd be interesting. And if that does well, too, that may unleash the floodgates for other Nintendo things. I mean, we may finally get that Zelda movie a lot of us have been waiting on for some time and so forth. So we'll see. Let's see. Some folks in chat, Tiger Claw, talking about the Angry Birds movie, too. I often forget that Angry Birds is a video game thing because it's a little different with the cell phone things, a little more casual. But, I mean, it certainly qualifies.
It was okay. I've watched the movie way too many times. I've watched that movie
kids,
way
right?
too yes because
yeah, like
kids.
Not of your own accord.
No, yeah. I've watched it way too many times, and it was all right. It wasn't good, but it wasn't like it wasn't as bad as like say like the Smurfs or something. And actually, I would put that as like a good barometer for where I think Sonic the Hedgehog could be. Like it. I don't know. Angry Birds, the problem with Angry Birds and with a lot of things is there's no plot to it. There's like, you're taking a game that has no story and then you're trying to inject a story into it. And so it's like they did their best and it was all right. I don't know. I think I'd watch the sequel when it comes out on Netflix or something, but I'm not going to go to a movie for it.
No more of that.
Probably not. All right. Unless the kids really want to go, and then in which case I would. But, like, I'm probably not.
The Solar Bear points out there is story. Piggies want eggs. Birds kill piggies to get their eggs back. And Bobby Blackwell's reminding us of, remember, Smurfs was a box office success. And that's true, and that's why I keep saying,
yeah,
I don't think Sonic's going to flop the way all the gamers say it's going to. I think that same market that's allowed the Smurfs and the Chipmunks and that whole those types of movies to succeed, I think Sonic will be okay. I don't think it's going to be great. I don't think it's going to be bleh. I think it's just going to be all right. It'll get a Netflix sequel, and you know that'll be the thing. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. We'll see.
I don't know. I hoped better for Sonic. You know, like, granted,
the movie's not out yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I mean, they're already like it's already too far gone. I mean, like, they're gonna make him look okay, fine, but I hope I actually wish they'd make him look worse. Like, make it just look goddamn terrible.
Not to get too far distant from the video games topic, since we are a video game show, but speaking of movies and trailers that get bad reception and things that might be too far gone, you know, the trailers, oddly enough, I feel like we were the one theater that didn't get the Sonic trailer ahead of
No, we didn't get it either.
Oh, okay.
I may have missed it because I had to take my kid to the bathroom, even though I said, go to the bathroom before we leave. And yeah.
But what we did see is we saw the trailer for the Lion King remake, which looks really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But oddly, and I still can't believe these are coming out so quick to each other, but they have both the Aladdin and Lion King remake are out this summer. And Aladdin, you know, a lot of people had some feelings about how Genie's CGI looked in that movie. So I'll be very curious to see what that translates to in receipts. I still think that Aladdin movie is going to do really good. Lion King will do better. But I feel like Disney is probably going to regret putting Aladdin and Lion King out, like, practically back to back. But what do I know? I'm not a Hollywood guy.
It feels like just cashing in on nostalgia, which is Disney's MO anyways. I mean,
but to be fair, the audience has shown through their dollars that's what they want.
I'm just surprised they have so many movies coming out this year, because like Disney, like this year they've got like so much stuff coming out, even from just Disney proper. They have the Aladdin movie, they have the Lion King movie, they have Frozen 2, then Pixar, you've got, you know, Toy Story 4, and then, of course, we're talking...
And now Disney owns Fox, so you got all that, too.
It's a ton of shit.
The Solar Bear in chat says, I'm going to see Aladdin, but not Lion King. This better not... The level of disrespect against Beyonce, it's far too much. It's far too much. No, I'd be curious what your thoughts are with that. I think some people are really put off by the talking animals, because it looks like... In The Lion King, it's like 100% talking animals. Now, I guess that's weird to some people.
I want Sonic...
It's not cartoons.
See,
it's like real animals.
I wanted Sonic the Hedgehog movie based on the Sonic Twitter account. You know, full of memes and just self-aware. That's my Sonic movie right there.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. We could talk probably hours and hours about Hollywood, but we want to talk about some more games. So let's talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week in a segment that we call How Was Your Gaming Week? So, Loki, how was your gaming week?
What Not good, and I'll tell you why, Okay. Because I've been working 50 to 60-hour weeks at work, at home, doing additional work. So, unfortunately, because of that, I have not been playing games. I've been just staying up till 1 in the morning doing work, and that's not fun. But I did, as is usual when I take my son to his programming class, I work on my programming at the same time. And so I've been working on that, and I got my health bars done how I wanted them. So right now they work exactly like the health bars in a Capcom arcade beat-em-up game with the color change and stuff. I haven't decided, though, if I want to change that, because the way they work there is if the life bars larger than one, it's just a certain color until it finally gets down to yellow, then starts, you know, going away. Whereas I may just have it keep going away and filling back up as it goes through each of the rows. I haven't decided if I want it to do with that, but right now it works exactly like the Capcom arcade stuff does, and that's all you're going to find out about it so far.
All right,
but that's it's taking me like 6 hours to get that working. So
That's it.
And I played Pokemon and very barely any Ingress, but just a little bit of the Pokemon Go in between stuff as I'm doing things. That's about it.
All right. Let's see, my gaming week. So, I already talked a little bit about some of the things I've been doing this week. But I have also been playing, you know, like Final Fantasy 14. I play that an awful lot. Been playing that still. And then playing more Beat Saber because it's a good way to get some exercise. Yeah. Trying to clear some more songs.
I'll probably do that once I get my new Rift.
I play more on hard difficulty. I'm trying to beat more experts, but hard is kind of like my good, like, safe zone right now. So those are most of the songs I'm trying to beat. I'm trying to get that trophy for getting an S on, like, it's like 10 or 15, like, hard songs. Mm-hmm. There's a trophy for that, so I've been working on that. So that's Beat Saber a little bit. And then I'm back on my Heroes of the Storm bullshit suddenly. Like, and I say that with love because it's interesting with the Blizzard games. Like, it's just I just start playing one a lot here or there. I played a little Overwatch, too, this week. And then as I was in the launcher for Overwatch, I was like, oh, they put Anduin in Heroes of the Storm. Oh, it's nice to see that Heroes of the Storm is, like, still getting new content. Oh, I haven't played in a while. I should go in there and play. And then, oh, I gotta – now I'm doing all my quests, get my gold. And I'm like, oh, I'm back on that bullshit. And then in a month or two, I'll be back on my Diablo 3 bullshit. It's just this cycle that continues with the Blizzard stuff. It's like a different game pulls me in each month. So the Heroes of the Storm month has started, apparently, for me. So there's that as well.
You haven't tried any of the Overwatch custom game types or anything?
No. The last time I was in Overwatch, well, I played just a little bit of quick play. But I did a little bit of that last event before it was done. So the Overwatch... I don't remember what they called the annual event because it was like Uprising was, but they've given it a different name every year. So I was like, oh crap, I got to do that because that ends in like 2 days. So I went in and did the story mode, got my loot box, you know, just from doing some of the arcade stuff, and I didn't get anything I liked. I got like another McCree skin. Whenever I get legendary shit, it's like McCree or Tracer, and it's like, I don't play McCree or Tracer ever. Like, why can't I have... Well, I did get a Lucio skin once. So I probably play Moira, Lucio, Junkrat, probably more than anybody else. So, but I like Moira a lot. I tried to play Batiste. I couldn't get into it. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I died twice, and I just switched to Moira so I could feel like I was helping because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing as Batiste. So, yeah, that was too bad.
Storm Rising, yeah.
Storm Rising, says Act Def, the Archives event. There it is. Metal Mayhem says, just when Rob thought he was out, a different game pulls him back in. That's how video games work. You're done with one, and another pulls you right in. So I've also been kind of itching to do another playthrough of Final Fantasy XII, just because the last time I tried to play through on PS4, I didn't finish. So I have that PC version. I kind of want to play that. I don't know. So I feel like that's going to be the next, like, thing I get sucked into. We'll see. But I have to admit, there haven't been a lot of new games really on my radar as of late. Like, there's nothing that's like, oh, it just came out and I've got to play it. So we'll see. I'm sure as E3 comes up in the summer, and then especially as we get in the fall, there'll be game. Nintendo will finally put out that Animal Crossing, and, you know, I'll be obsessed. So Pokemon Gen 8, I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. So, you know, there'll still be more stuff throughout the year. So. All right, that was my gaming week. So let's get into some news. Some quick housekeeping, though, things to note. Next week, we'll be back with episode 777. Dark Sakura will be here as well. And then that will be it for the month because the week after that, Memorial Day weekend, we will not be here. Dark Sakura is going to a drag queen convention in L.A. Yes, really. And I'm going to Chicago for a big Ingress event and doing some other stuff out there, too. So seeing some friends and so forth. So Memorial Day weekend is just everybody's going places. So we won't be here that weekend. But we will be back the week after that when, if I'm not mistaken, we have to kind of hit the ground running on E3, right? I think we might have one more show before all the E3 stuff starts. But, yeah, we're going to be back from Memorial Day and really hitting the ground on E3. So it's going to be exciting. So
yes.
All right. We hope you'll join us. Let's get into some gaming news. So, Loki, you want to start us off tonight?
Sure. Let's start off talking about what, you know, has been kind of a...
Oh, wait. Sorry. This is worth noting. Sorry, because this did happen this week. SSU 100 Matt says, Rob is also coming to New York, too. That is true. I am finally planning my trip back to New York, and it's going to be over Veterans Day weekend in November. So it's a little ways off for me to start telling you there's no show that weekend. But here's what happened. I got tickets to see Jagged Little Pill on Broadway because they're turning that into a Broadway show. And my pal, Arya Snark, Victoria from Shaking and Crying, it turned into, well, if we're going to go to New York and see one play, why don't we see three plays? But it's actually, it's kind of like, she's not going to go see Jagged Little Pill, and they want to go see Frozen on Broadway. And no. I'm like, I don't really want to, but Victoria like dresses up and she, I mean, she looks great. She's really into it. So they're going to go see, when I say they, her and Melody are going to go see Frozen. And then we're all of us, myself, Alan, the girls, we're all going to go see Moulin Rouge is on Broadway. And I am fucking excited about that. Like, that's going to be that. I mean, that was a hell of a movie. I can only imagine what a Broadway show that's going to be. So, hopefully there will be a chance for me to say hello to listeners, meet up at Dave and Buster's or something. But yes, finally coming back to New York Veterans Day weekend. Okay, I'm sorry. Now you can do the news.
All right. Anyway, so it's been definitely something that's been in process for a while. We heard some senators complain about this a while back. I got like a long time ago, about different microtransactions and stuff like that, and loot boxes. I think actually when the whole Star Wars thing was going down, the Battlefront 2. So now apparently one of the senators of Missouri, Senator Josh Hawley, has announced a bill to ban loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions in games played by minors. So basically, it's the Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act, and it's, you know, kind of targeting some of these games that have like egregious loot box. Like, for example, they're talking about Candy Crush, where it has like a $150 loot box that you can buy, which is just ridiculous. So they said, when a game is designed for kids, game developers shouldn't be allowed to monetize addiction. And when kids play the games designed for adults, they should be walled off from the compulsive microtransactions. Game developers who knowingly exploit children should face legal consequences.
So, the industry has failed to police itself in this regard, unlike what happened in the 90s when it came to the violence issue and the industry came up with the ESRB as a response. The industry has failed to respond to the loot box issue in a timely manner or with anything with significant substance. So now the government is getting involved. And, you know, although I think there's some of us that can say, oh, I'm not surprised it's coming. And I think there are some other people that could even be celebrating. Like, yay, the government is going to shut down this loot box thing and stop this predatory thing. Like, I get that. But I worry that if you're quick to jump to that conclusion, you're missing some things here that could actually be very bad about this. Because here's what I worry about. Tell me the name of that bill again.
It is the Think of the Children Act. No, Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act.
So Congress is going to invoke children on this whole thing. And the games that are predatory on children. How is that going to be defined? Who's going to define that? Who is going to decide
Let
if a game
guess.
Targets children or not?
The ESRB ratings.
Is it? Because ESRB is not the government.
True.
So I worry that we're starting to walk down a path very similar to, what was it, ESRB versus Schwarzenegger or ESA versus, I think it was ESA versus Schwarzenegger, when, and what I'm referring to is that controversial law about the violent video game sales in California. So California at one point had banned the violent video game sales. Long story short, Supreme Court struck it down. Why did the Supreme Court strike it down? Because that line about what is a violent video game, they did not rely on the ESRB. They were relying on this, like...
But that's the problem. It was too broad. It didn't really define it.
It was broad. It didn't define it. It left too much open to interpretation. And you know there are going to be some people that take this too far and use it as a way to kind of like shut down and lock down video games. So I'm not too quick to celebrate what's happening here. Did I kind of see this coming? Yes, I think we all did, especially when the industry doubled down on this issue. And to be quite frank, I think the ESA has failed us here. And it's not surprising now that we're learning this week, and Bobby already talked about this at length. I don't know how we missed it for our show tonight, but you saw that there's like a lot of fuckery going on. Well, I should say there's an expose that's going on with the ESA. Variety Gaming did a whole little article about it that basically sounds like my interpretation of the article is that the leader of the ESA went off the deep end apparently, is not running a very strong organization, is trying to inject too much politics into this whole thing, and is just, like, allowed this to go and if y'all think you're not seeing the result of that, look at what's happened to E3, you guys. Anyway, Bobby's talked a lot about that at length tonight. I'm not going to tread, you know, I'll tell y'all to listen to his show, but I do think there's a correlation here. I think where the ESA has kind of, for lack of a better term, started to fall up its own ass. Sorry, not sorry. Well, what else would you call it?
Well, right. But
so the ESA has fallen up its own ass to the point where now this has been allowed to happen. Because and this is what pisses me off, is that the ESA, instead of trying to find a solution to this problem, tried to tell us there was no problem.
And they still are, yeah. In fact, they put out a comment saying that numerous countries, including Ireland, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, determined that loot boxes do not constitute gambling. We look forward to sharing with the senator the tools and information the industry already provides that keeps control of in-game spending in parents' hands. Parents already have the ability to limit or prohibit in-game purchases with ease using parental controls. Yeah, but I don't think just because I don't know it that it's to me that's almost like the argument of like, well, you had this bad thing happen to you because you did this, you know. Well, you could have avoided that whole situation if you didn't do something, but you know, this happened to you because you didn't follow that. But I don't know. I think that, well, I like how they don't mention Belgium, because Belgium did conclude that they were, you know, gambling, and they've had to take them out. And I don't know if any of these have, like, said that these specifically are gambling, or they just basically share the same types of symptoms of gambling addiction for people that are addicted to this kind of stuff. And I think, yeah, I think a lot of this isn't exactly gambling, because if it was exactly gambling, then they would be held to gambling laws. So, of course, they're going to try to skirt that. But I think, I don't know, I think if they keep pushing it the way they're doing it, it's only going to get worse for them.
So I'm going to our chat for some more comments here. We see SG and Hunter Matt saying an awful lot about this at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. This senator is apparently very unpopular on the Senate floor, and because of that, it may fail when it goes to committee, so I've heard. The sports gaming community I follow are all cheering for this. I also don't see this as a good thing. Correct. I think people are just looking at the bottom line, where it's like, oh, the government's going to get rid of loot boxes. Yay!
There was a senator in Hawaii that was supposed to be putting together a bill, because he was like one of the first ones that kind of was.
I believe the difference is that was a state senator. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. Y'all can fact check me on this live if you want. But I believe that was a state senator in Hawaii looking at a state law. And now we're talking about a U.S. senator, so we're looking at a federal law. That's why this is back in the news. It sounds like deja vu. That's why this is escalating more and more.
And let's be honest here. I don't think that this is a big enough problem for them to even tackle. And if anything, the way the Senate has been working nowadays, it's a corporation. They're going to protect the corporation, not the children. Who gives a shit about the children, in their opinion?
Well, that's kind of where SJ100 Matt starts to go with it, is EA continues to push it hardest in their sports games. Their ultimate team system, which is in NHL, Madden, FIFA, which is essentially a pay-to-win loot box system, brings in about $800 million a year to EA. EA is going to lobby as much as possible to make this bill not happen, to keep this revenue. So how do we fix this problem, Loki?
You can't. It'll never happen. Well, here's how it's going to happen. Stop spending $800 million on fucking microtransactions. That'll stop them from putting them in the games. But that's never going to happen, so you're fucked. So the people that are irritated enough by them don't buy those games, and the people that are happy with them, well, they're going to continue to buy those games no matter what you say. So you're going to have to basically, you know, show them with your wallet what you want. Here's the problem, though. You take away one source of revenue, they're going to try to find that source of revenue somewhere else. So it's going to happen. They feel that they need to get more money from you. That's why we have $60 games with microtransactions, with season passes, with DLC, with all this other crap that's thrown on top of it, you know, collector's editions and all this shit, is because they can get from you, instead of $60 for a game, they can get like several hundreds of dollars from you every single year. It's just not going to change until we change.
Here's my idea on how to fix it. I'm going to propose something that, and maybe some of y'all aren't gonna think it's gonna be effective. But here's my suggestion on how we fix this whole thing. Number one, and by far the easiest thing you can do, and I think the thing that everybody agrees, there really isn't anything bad about this, so why not do it? And that would be to adopt what we're seeing already happen in other countries, where the distribution of what is in loot boxes is clear, transparent, and upfront. Meaning you have a 10% chance of getting this, you have a 5% chance of getting this, whatever it is. So the odds, that should always be transparent, easy to access, and upfront. Number one, that's the thing that, if you are a game company that doesn't want to fix that and doesn't want to publish that, you are the fucking problem. Like, period. That needs to be fixed. Number two, if EA is not going to do fuck all about this, and the ESA, the people making the software, are not going to do fuck all about this, here's my suggestion on who can fix this. There's three people that can fix this. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are the ones that can fix this. How are they going to fix it? Because they're going to make it so that their hardware makes sure that they are doing the appropriate checks and balances to ensure from a hardware perspective that children are not spending this money unnecessarily, because it's about protecting the children, right? So why aren't we picking on Apple and the mobile phone gaming industry in this?
Well, now that I think of it, children don't have money, so what money are they spending? They're spending their parents' money. So it's all your own fucking fault that you give your kids money.
Right, so let's take that a step further, right? Because they say it's kids maybe unknowingly spending the parents' money. So here's why I invoke Apple and Google and all that. Because on Apple and Google, what does Apple keep selling as the new features of their phone? Security, face recognition, thumbprint. All these things to make sure that the person spending the money on the phone is you and not somebody else in your family, a kid, or heaven forbid your phone gets stolen, abandoned, somebody else, right?
Abandoned.
Do you see where I'm going with this? This is what Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo need to do. Because if they don't fix the problem, it's going to affect them because they get a cut of all these sales, right? They need to embed it within their own OSs to ensure that people that are spending the money are the person who is on the card.
Now, I would say it's not so much children spending that is a problem. It's more people with addictive, tendencies that are adults that have the problem.
You know, and if they really wanted to impress the government and really take steps around that, they might make a note when you've spent so much money. A little display will come on the screen that says, you know, if you need help with a gambling addiction, call this number.
Or how about...
They do that in Vegas. Look at those billboards on the lottery.
What about like parental controls? What if we had an option, like a setting in the hardware where I can turn off microtransactions? So if I know I have a problem with spending money on that kind of crap and I want to take, you know, preventative actions to avoid putting myself in that scenario, that I can toggle those off and... Just like, you know, we don't want children getting access to them, it will shut off access to them, so I don't see any references to it. I don't see anything that's tied to those microtransactions.
I need to respond to this in chat. So Bobby in chat says, all things Samsung phones had years ago, by the way. Android for the win. Apple invented security. Respectfully, you're starting the wrong fight here. And the reason why is because – the reason why I'm invoking Apple is because we know Apple puts on a show. Sure, Google, they all do these keynotes as well. But let's be real. People know the Apple keynotes get covered by the media and all that stuff gets like super noticed in like the mainstream and so forth, right? So that's kind of why I say that, like, you know, when Apple talks about security and all this stuff, you know, there are generally people that are listening to, you know, the latest upgrades and so forth in security and how, you know, mobile phones and so forth. Yeah, I'm fully realized Apple didn't invent all of this, and sometimes they're just running with a trend that they see in the industry. That's part of competition. But regardless, let's get back on what the real point is about it. I think that Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony need to kind of look at what can they do to show that within their own systems, they are trying to protect money from not being spent unless it's the intended purchaser. Basically making it harder for kids to spend money. And I know that might sound like it's shooting themselves in the foot because they kind of like it because they make more money when kids are spending money and so forth. But they've got to realize if this passes, this is going to be a whole lot worse for them. So what can they do? How about turning on parental controls by default? You have to set a passcode in order to be able to use your card. I think to some extent, some of the – honestly, they're kind of already doing this. I think they just need to maybe take it a step further to really show how – and maybe this is where I've got to invoke Apple and that showmanship, if you will. They've got to go out there and show how, with these new systems that are coming out, this security is enabled by default, and that they're making it so that only the person that is making the purchases is able to use the card. Because I think if they can do that, then the industry can say, that's how we're protecting kids, because we've put in these security initiatives by default to ensure that a card purchaser or a card holder is the only one that's able to actually spend money on the account. Okay. And again, I want to stress, I do realize that Sony, you know, you have to kind of put in a password. I don't know if that's always on by default. And a lot of times they kind of encourage you to save password and things like that too. So I do think they need to communicate just a little more clearly.
Well, they do a lot of two-factor all the time.
Yeah.
And I get all the two-factor. And it's kind of to an annoying extent, but I understand why I have it.
So, but, and that's my suggestion is that, and that's how loot boxes, I suppose, could stay in the industry. So again, number one, make the odds transparent. Number two, the systems need to, and the consoles need to enable on there by default that only the card holder is the one that can push the button and initiate the transaction to buy the loot box or whatever it is. And I think if they can show that, then that will be how they can say that kids can't spend money unless their parents told them the password, which you shouldn't do. So that's my thought. Do you think there might be anything to that? I don't know.
I don't think they're going to do anything.
I don't. I hope they do, because I think if this passes, it's going to be a whole lot worse. But maybe they're just banking on, it's not going to pass because just like the ESA versus Schwarzenegger thing and the violent thing being too vague, this protecting children thing is too vague. So we're just going to run out the clock, because that's a popular trend in politics these days. We're just going to wait it out because we know politics is a slow process. So we're just going to run out the clock.
Yep.
I just think that's dangerous. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, but Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo want their cut of the loot box prices. Remember, EA doesn't get 100%. Oh, no, I full well recognize this, but I think those three companies have to ask a hard question. What's worse? What's going to impact the bottom line more? The security features I'm talking about or this bill? Because this bill is going to come if they continue to do nothing. It might take 7 years, but it's going to come eventually. So, anyway. I've talked a lot about that. Let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Let's go to another story. So let's talk about another big thing that's going on in the industry this week. There was a big walkout that happened this week, and the walkout happened at Riot Games. And 150 employees this week walked out at Riot Games in their offices in Los Angeles. They were basically having a protest over recent discrimination lawsuits that were happening at Riot Games. Riot, of course, most well-known for the game League of Legends. Funny that I was talking about Heroes of the Storm, because League of Legends is a game that's kind of like that, mm-hmm. but it's the game that Riot puts out in response, or I guess really was first, if you want to. But Dota was really the first. Anyway, forget it. So there was a big expose that Kotaku had done. Gosh, when was it? It was last year. It was over the summer last year about, you know, some sexism and some other things allegedly going on in the workplace. And some employees filed suit, and the publisher, basically Riot, wanted to force these to go to forced arbitration, because this is very popular in corporate culture, is to back out of the courts and make people go to arbitration. Arbitration clauses, right? You probably heard of them. You see them all the time. So in this employment world, it's no different in that regard. When these employees were, you know, signing up to work at this company, they probably had to sign some type of arbitration clause that is basically any dispute won't be settled in court. It'll be settled in arbitration. Why do we always go to arbitration? Because usually arbitration tends to side a little more on the corporate side of things, because it is a private process as opposed to a public process, which would be the judicial system, right? So that's why arbitration tends to do these things. But I think it's pretty notable that you have a bunch of employees that stood up, walked out, and said, fuck that, basically. Because I think why this is noteworthy, it's not just about dogging on Riot Games and the continued issues, but this ties into, I think, some of these bigger things we've been talking about in the industry and what's been going on for a while between the crunch time and, you know, other things that are a problem in the industry. This is the first sign you've had of people coming together and banding up for a common purpose and taking – it's very similar to what might happen if the industry were to unionize. So in some ways, this was a big step maybe in that direction. I know I'm using a lot of vague language there, but – you know, I know the word union also scares some people, so we don't know. But regardless, we're seeing a lot of workers in the gaming industry kind of band together and stick up for themselves. So it could be very interesting to see where this goes from here. What did you think watching this whole thing? I'm curious at the chat as well. What did you guys think?
Well, I had watched some videos that were covering the story, and they were talking about how, you know, just the corporate just the way that they kind of interact, just the way, like, the normal interactions was very misogynistic, I guess, from what I hear, that there's a lot of, like, kind of sexist comments coming from some of the execs, and, you know, and just, that's kind of what kind of prompted some of these lawsuits. But because there was arbitration stuff that they were being forced to, they felt like they couldn't, you know, be heard by anyone in power to actually take action on that stuff.
Very good point, because when it's arbitrated, it's all behind closed doors.
Right.
When it's judicial, it's a matter of public record. That's a very good clarification between the two processes. And on that note, I do want to read, because Bobby's doing
corporate
a little
culture. That's what I wanted. Culture.
Bobby's doing a little fact checking in real time in chat, and this is fine. I don't mind being told it's a little different. Bobby says the walkout is because Riot is not forcing new employees into arbitration, but they're keeping all existing employees on the forced arbitration clause. So new employees can go to court, existing employees can only go to arbitration. Well, certainly there's a disconnect there. You know, maybe Riot was trying to clean things up a little bit after the Kotaku thing came out, so they kind of, you know, changed some of their, you know, rules. But I think it makes sense that if you do something that favors new employees, then the employees that were already there should be, you know, included on that plan, right? Like, if you're going to give new employees more PTO, usually you bump everybody
else up. Are they just
up.
Worried that if they did drop that clause, that all of a sudden they're going to get lots of lawsuits? Is that the word?
I don't know. And it's I don't know if we fully know the answer to that. But yeah. There's certainly a reason for it. Anyway, now Riot Games is saying, you know, they tried to kind of play this whole thing cool. You kind of wonder if they're sweating bullets behind the scene or what's going on. But Riot did say, they put out a statement, they said, and they commented to Variety. They said, we support rioters making their voices heard today. We've asked all managers to make every accommodation to allow rioters to participate, including freeing up meeting times. We respect rioters who choose to walk out today and will not tolerate retaliation of any kind as a result of participating. So, I mean, they've been dragged through the mud publicly once already. They're going out of their way to be like, It's cool. You're gonna walk off your jobs. It's cool. Yeah, you know, we deserved it a little bit. I don't know. So they're very much trying to at least outwardly give that impression of, oh, now, you know, we're cool. We don't, you know, please don't write another mean thing about us and keep playing League of Legends, right?
Yeah.
I mean, time will tell if this is to have impact, but certainly the employees that walked out have kind of threatened that they're going to do more if things don't change. So if this arbitration clause doesn't go away in favor of the judicial process and so forth, they're not saying what it is, because maybe they don't want Riot to be able to prepare a statement next time. And that could be a variety of things. You could talk about, you know, and again, I'm making shit up. I don't know anything about what's going on behind closed doors at Riot. I'm completely making shit up. They could walk out again, but not warn people when it's going to happen. And they could time this around an important deadline. They could do something timed with E3. There could be a convenient breaking of some major NDAs. We don't know. There could be a leak.
Around my E3? I don't believe that.
I mean, again, I'm just making shit up, but these are the types of things that could happen potentially. So if you wanted to damage a company, that might be a way to do it. Spill all their secrets, leak all their secrets, and make it so that, you know, I'm sure there are lots of gaming websites out there that would promise anonymity for some of those secrets. Of course, then they might get taken to court, but you got the First Amendment, that it would get ugly. Anyway, I'm not saying they should do that, but it's going to be interesting to see how this might escalate if Riot doesn't, you know, listen to some of these demands. And it may not end there. If this campaign is successful, perhaps we're going to see employees start to stand up for things like crunch time and for things like benefits and so on and so forth. So we're at a very interesting sort of turning point, I think, in the industry. It could be very, very interesting. So SSTO 100 Matt says the industry needs to unionize, and don't believe the nonsense about saving enough money on union dues to buy a game console like what Delta did this week. Oh, yeah, that was a whole thing. Did you see that?
No.
Delta was putting out these ads. They're all over Twitter about the $700 you spend annually in union fees could go to buy a new game console and all these games. There's a variety of different little ads that show what $700 could buy you. And just the game console one is the one that's catching a lot of gamers' attention, obviously. So, yeah, interesting. SJ100 Matt also says, happy employees respect their companies. Just saying. And isn't that the truth? I think we'll end it on that note, and we'll move on to our next story. So let's go to something a little more positive. Yeah, Loki?
Yes. So this is pretty cool. Did you know that Minecraft is 10 years old? So that's right. They're celebrating.
And don't you feel old as a result? Because that's why every time I see one of those things on Facebook that says XYZ is 20 years old today, or, you know, God, what was the thing that was just recently going around? It's like 30 years old as of today. I don't know. But it's just like, wow, I feel old.
Yeah. Anyway. Trying to remember. But anyways, yeah. So it is 10 years old. And to celebrate, they have a brand new map that you can play that's basically celebrating the whole history of Minecraft. They even have this large Minecraft minecart ride that kind of walks you through all the different things. They have like this giant compendium of all the blocks and how to use them and all the mobs. And aside from it being quite impressive to look at, there's also some Easter eggs in there, and you can go check that out. And basically any version of Minecraft that's available out there, I think you can actually play this on right now. So that's still currently being updated, of course. I don't think 360 is going to be able to do that.
Some interesting comments from chat. SSG100 Matt says, Minecraft is now eligible for Classic Game of the Week. Fuck. I guess it is.
I guess it is.
Stay tuned. I don't know if it'll come up on Jamie's radar, but we have had guests picking games lately, and I don't believe Minecraft is on the ban list. So
why would it be on the ban list?
I don't think it is. Bobby Blackwolf wonders in their 10th anniversary post, do they mention Notch? I don't know if you know, but he's kind of messy. So
I don't know. Kind of like to keep their distance, but like part of the map is all of the little phrases that were in Minecraft. Like, you know, when you start it up, how there's like little like catch taglines or whatever that are on there. Mm-hmm. So they have the whole map is surrounded by those. So I don't know if it mentions Notch in any of those. I would guess no.
I'm going to guess that a company kind of knows when something is much bigger than one person. And I think Minecraft's far past that point. Where, you know, don't cry for that guy, because how much money did he get?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to shed any tears.
It's right now it's free to anyone that has the Bedrock versions of the game. So that includes Xbox One, Switch, PC, and mobile devices. No PlayStation 4, apparently. And then what else? And then they also have... it available for the Java versions and Realms. I know I saw on the, because this map was created by somebody that does a lot of map creation, and so they had it tagged where you can download the maps to play it in the Java version. So, but it's out there, I'm sure, if you go to the Minecraft site. On top of that, though, they have this now classic version of Minecraft. So the very first version of Minecraft that was out there, like prior to a lot of the features that you come to love in there, like for example, there's no mobs. You only have 8 types of blocks. It's only in creative mode. So they have that. So apparently you can play that in your browser now. So you can actually go check it out at minecraft.net/en-us article and then embrace-past-minecraft.
Okay, I can't write that fast.
Just go to Minecraft.net. I'm sure they've got a link.
I think that'll work.
Yes, but
or Google it.
Yes, or Google it. So you can check it out and play it. I see more than 8 blocks there. I don't know about that, but it's neat.
Okay, but 4K Super Graphics Pack when?
Sonic Ether was working on it, sort of, but But unfortunately, he's stopped sharing stuff the beta versions.
They've quietly stopped talking about that.
Yeah. Maybe E3.
Well, just like the last time they talked about it in E3, maybe. Well, actually, didn't they announce something coming up on the 17th, was it? Didn't they announce, like, they put something out, like a teaser with a date on it? Because I thought I saw something in our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord about it. Like, they were teasing a date. Somebody had posted about that. So I don't know if maybe there are more announcements to come or what have you.
Is that when their next, like, Inside Xbox is going to be?
I don't think it's Inside Xbox. I think it's a Minecraft-focused thing.
Minecraft?
No, I think it's just a Minecraft. Because don't they do, like, Minecon and that kind of stuff? I mean, I don't know.
Minecon was already happened. Right. That was in April. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't played Minecraft in a while. I know they have new mobs and everything since I played Minecraft. So we need to go back and play again.
I know you miss Minecraft. Actually, I wanted to go dig it up. So that's why I'm looking at my phone right now, is I'm actually going onto the Discord to find what that was that was being shared. And okay, so it was posted by 13X Forever in our Discord on Monday, saying Minecraft AR teased at the end of today's Microsoft Build Conference keynote. So May 17th. And they show like a little, like they're holding the phone. So there may be more information.
Oh,
I guess that wouldn't be the 4K.
I wonder if they're going to. I mean, maybe they're pushing that to the Windows Reality. Do those have the pass-through cameras on? I know, like, some of them have the pass-through cameras on them. I don't know if the Mixed Reality headsets. I would assume Mixed Reality means that maybe they do. It'd be neat if it was coming like phones, like you do AR, like building with that.
Yeah, Minecraft Go, says ActDeft with a question mark. So, like, a Minecraft type of real world type game. That could be very interesting. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll find out this coming week. It's possible.
I'd play it
next week. Yeah, we'll see. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Another game that I know a lot of people are very excited about, Tetris 99. That's still a thing. And I think many people kind of foresaw when Tetris 99 first came out, people kind of foresaw, there seems to be room in this for there to be more than just the Battle Royale. That there's room. And sure enough, it's been announced there is more coming. It's the Big Block DLC, and it will be offline modes for Tetris 99 for $9.99. So here's the thing. Tetris 99 right now is free if you have the Switch online, right? So it's kind of like a free game, but, I mean, it would only work online anyway if you had the Nintendo Switch online. So now they're going to be selling a version of it, basically, or this DLC, if you will, for $10 that will allow you to do offline. So it will include CPU battle. You versus 98 computer players, which would be good if you want to play on the go on an airplane or somewhere where you don't have internet, or if you just don't like playing with people online. Although
you don't really interact with people online,
they feel like computer players.
Yeah,
you don't really interact with them. But whatever. I mean, you can play this game when you're not buying internet. That's something that would happen. Also, though, there's more. Marathon, which would involve clearing the most lines and scoring big. And you don't need an internet connection for either one. So, and then I think they were talking about some type of upcoming mode or tournament or something where, here it is. The Maximum Cup event from May 17th at midnight to May 19th at 11:59 p.m. If you get 100 points, you get a special Game Boy theme that looks like the old Game Boy Tetris game, which is kind of cute. So I wish you could just get that for playing. I wish you didn't have to score a ton of points to do it, but maybe that won't be too hard. I don't know. I want to check out that Game Boy theme, though. That looks pretty cool. So I know a lot of you are enjoying Tetris 99, and you got some more stuff to look forward to there. So Bobby Blackwolf points out, computer players aren't as good as human players. I can actually win in single player. ActDef says, people are hating on the Big Block DLC, and I really don't understand why. Probably the $10 charge. People are probably like, but the game was free. Why am I paying? I think that's
you don't have to. It's optional.
It is optional. You don't have to pay it, so. Dark Studio says, I did eventually get to 100, so I don't think the Game Boy skin will be that hard to unlock. Well, that's good to know. That'll be good. Anyhow, let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
So they've announced the E3 press conference schedule, so we can take a look and see what we're going to be up against. Starting June 9th. So June 9th, of course, being a Sunday, we've got Microsoft at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And followed by Bethesda at Sunday at 5:30. Then the following day on that Monday, June 10th, we've got Ubisoft at 1. And later on in the evening, Square Enix at 6 p.m. Pacific time, followed by Nintendo doing their direct on June 11th, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
So I'm looking at the calendar here. That's why I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at a calendar. And so next week is episode 777. We're off on May 26th. Okay, that's the week we're off. We come back June 2nd. So that's kind of the ramp into E3. It's kind of last show before E3 and when rumors are really going to start to – and you might start to hear some indie news and so forth. And then June 9th is right after that. So 779 will be the E3 show because Bethesda is going to interrupt our show again with whatever they've got going, which we kind of don't know because – that Starfield probably isn't ready, right? So we don't...
That's never stopped them from releasing something.
Fair. Be very curious to see what they're going to talk about. And then since Sony isn't Monday night...
I think it's about time for like a Fallout New Vegas remaster or something like that.
Wait a minute. So Square Enix is doing their own thing Monday night, right? Instead of Sony, right?
Yes.
So we're very likely to see some things on the Final Fantasy VII remake, which I'm about to touch on here as well. Do you think maybe... we're going to see Final Fantasy 16. It's time. We've moved on from 15, right? We're done. Final Fantasy 16, it's time, yeah?
It's time for Urgot's 2. No?
All right. Well, I guess that does
Think of the esports. Urgot's 2, come on.
I guess that does go right into another story here about Final Fantasy VII and the Final Fantasy VII remake. And sure enough, this week, Sony PlayStation did a State of Play update, which is PlayStation Direct, essentially, under a different name. And they showed a few things there. Some of the stuff is sprinkled throughout our show a little later. But also, the fact that we got an update on the Final Fantasy VII remake. We got a little bit more of a trailer, which showed some gameplay and it showed some cinematics, probably, you know, some scenes we got to kind of see in the remake style, such as that first scene where Aerith runs into Cloud and offers him the flower, which was, you know, that's a scene in the original game and that you see that a little more fully realized. They did tease that there would be more coming in June. Well, now we know they have their own press conference coming up instead of Sony. It would seem very likely that that would be the time that we're going to get more information.
Gameplay.
Well, I mean, the trailer,
well, we sort of had
trailer has gameplay.
Like, actual
in it,
gameplay.
But maybe, yeah, now maybe instead of it being so sliced
gameplay
up, we'll
demo.
Get to see.
Huh?
Maybe we'll see something like that.
Maybe.
That could very well be a thing. It should be noted, though, on the same token there with Final Fantasy VII, they are still planning to make the remake episodic. And you may have noticed even in that trailer, it seemed like everything in that trailer was the first hour of the game is that. I mean, there was
so that's probably all they have done.
I don't know. I would hope they have more. Maybe they're just holding some of that back for E3. We don't know where the episode lines are being drawn, but we do know that Final Fantasy VII still plans to be episodic.
It's each of the discs. Why not?
Well, but disc 3 was nothing but the last dungeon in the ending. I don't think
that's
gonna,
it. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to draw the lines.
Haha, sucker, you bought it for $60.
I don't think they're going to draw the lines where they did on the disc. I think it's very logical that the whole sequence with getting out of Midgar, that'll be episode 1.
Maybe it goes into Advent Children.
I don't know. I think y'all are just adding your own shit to it. I think where Midgar is, that'll be the end of the first episode. And then kind of in the overworld up to a certain... I'm trying to remember back in the game. But they'll probably split the overworld into like 2 and 3. I would imagine there's 3 episodes, but who knows? There might be more. But here's something. I mean, since they are splitting it up into episodic content, you can expect you're going to pay $60 for each episode. So for the full Final Fantasy VII remake experience, get ready to pay $180. I would guess. Now, this also begs an interesting question here, if you ask me. We're already talking about the PlayStation 5 in 2020. And we've already talked about how some games may just kind of come out for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, right? Isn't that going to be interesting if they get the Final Fantasy VII Remake Episode 1 out for PlayStation 4? Then they put it out again on PlayStation 5 just before Episode 2 comes out. That's how they're going to get $60 from you twice for the same episode. Watch. Watch. Of course, we also know the PlayStation 5 will play PlayStation 4 games, so you won't necessarily have to do that, but I bet there's some people that will for whatever, you know, graphical upgrades and other things they might do with it as well. We'll see. So,
I was going to mention, though, on top of that, Devolver is also doing their press conference which will be fucking weird as usual. But I love it.
Bobby Blackwolf is wondering, will we get Final Fantasy VII Episode 3, though? We're still waiting on Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Well, the good news is we know Square can get a series to 15, right? Square doesn't stumble on the number 3, unlike some companies, because they've at least got one of their franchises up to 15 games and countless spinoffs. So I think we're doing okay right there. ActDev says, we will get Final Fantasy VII Episode 3, but people will hate it and it will be patched, like Episode 13 and Final Fantasy 15. Oh my god, all these numbers. I'm going crazy.
You know what's probably going to be there, and I hope it is, actually, is our Avengers game. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
They're supposed to be working on one of those.
Sure, I'd like to see that as well. So we'll talk some more E3 predictions in a couple weeks, but it's getting exciting. So I got to say, you know, with as much as I'm kind of giving this Final Fantasy VII and the episode thing, and look at all this money you're going to spend, some crap. Like, I got to say, it looks really good. Like, if it looks that good for some hours and hours of gameplay, like, it kind of might be worth it. It's going to be that $180 will be spread out through 5 years. I just hope this doesn't, like, cease development on another Final Fantasy game. Because I know there's some of you out there that are like, oh no, the Final Fantasy VII remake is Final Fantasy 16. Maybe not in name, but like all the resources that would be going to make a Final Fantasy 16 are going to that remake right now. So you're going to wait twice as long for a Final Fantasy 16.
I don't know. I hope we see a Final Fantasy VI remake in the same type of style.
All right. We need to go back to a simpler time. We need to take a trip back to a time when there were not episodic remakes. There were not Episode 6 and Final Fantasy X-2 and all this stuff. But there were generations and generations and generations of maybe different games. We're going to take a trip back with the classic game of the week, and then we'll be back here live in studio. And so we'll take a step back through space and time and this little segment that we do here on Orange Launch Radio called the Classic Game of the Week, where usually Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this game this week. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, she's not here tonight because she's off doing things for Mother's Day. So as we've been doing this year, we're inviting some special guests onto the show to take care of the Classic Game of the Week. And this week is no different. Welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio now, all the way from Boise, Idaho, the one-time host of the Ranger Bride podcast, Shane.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
Thank you.
It has been a little while since we've had you on the show. Can you summarize the past couple years in one or two sentences?
I got married, I moved, and I quit paying attention to Power Rangers.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of big changes going on. Well, glad to have you here on the show to help us out with the segment, the Classic Game of the Week. So why don't we get to it? What did you pick for our listeners tonight?
Okay, well, what I picked is very relevant at the moment because there's this little indie movie that just came out. It's called Detective Pikachu.
And I'm sure we have not yet talked about it tonight at all.
No, not one bit. And while I can't actually, there's a Detective Pikachu game, if you guys didn't know, but it doesn't meet the requirements for Classic Game of the Week.
Yes. We do have strict rules around here. I don't write them, but I do have to enforce them.
So I am taking an aspect of that movie and an aspect of a story that I totally have to tell, and combining it, and it's going to give our Classic Game of the Week the big reveal, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
All right. And what's kind of interesting about this week on Twitch anyway, you don't really see this on the podcast, but we actually show footage from the game in the background of the game that's been picked. And usually we just kind of have like a random Let's Play from YouTube or something. But tonight, this is actual footage that you shot playing the game.
Yep. I have a DS that is modded. Sorry, a 3DS that is 2DS that is modded because it's my Pokemon one. And I thought I really haven't used it yet. And if we're going to be doing a Pokemon game, of which I own all of them, we might as well just go ahead and use footage that I get.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad we get to have some unique footage here on the show tonight of the Classic Game. So tell us a little bit about...
There may be a special guest star or two in that footage.
All right, we'll keep an eye. For those that are on Twitch anyway, we'll keep all eyes peeled. But why this game? Out of the seven generations of Pokemon games, well, I know some of them aren't eligible because they're not 10 years old, but there's been...
I know, like, the one I want to do.
I know there's
one
been...
One more year and I can do it.
I know there's been spinoffs and a variety of things, so why are we bringing this one to the table tonight?
Okay, so there's two reasons. The first reason is in Detective Pikachu... All different types of Pokemon are represented from different generations. And I was going through the list on a website that kind of cataloged which ones show up. And I noticed that there was one Generation 4 Pokemon in the entire movie, which made me feel a little bad. And that doesn't count like posters. It doesn't count statues in the movie. I'm talking about physical Pokemon that you can interact with in the movie. And so I was like, well, I get it. Gen 4 is not the best, but let's do something nice for Gen 4 today. The second reason is, and I'm not sure if you remember this, Rob, but around the time this game came out, which was April, I'm scrolling up because I don't remember the exact day, April 22nd, 2007, around that time, you, myself, and Jamie took a trip to Disneyland, and one of the things we did was we stopped at a Walmart, and I bought Pokemon Diamond on that trip.
I do vaguely remember that. I do. Those were the years where we were going to Disneyland all the time because it was reasonably priced.
It was like $25 million for a like half-day pass.
Exactly. I do remember this because this was, you know, I don't think you were at the point where you were buying five copies of every generation, but you were definitely I got to get this game.
I wasn't even getting both copies at that point. I was just picking one and going with it. So, boy, those were the easy days.
So you kind of referenced something there, though, about that, like, this maybe isn't necessarily the best Pokemon game in some people's eyes. Like, this generation's kind of controversial, right?
Yeah, it's got a few interesting choices that were made, at least in Diamond and Pearl. That's why I wanted to go with Diamond and Pearl versus Platinum, which would have also qualified for today. But Platinum was your third version in Generation 4's main games. And whenever you get a third version, it usually fixes a lot of the problems that the previous games had. So, for example, in Diamond and Pearl, there are all of four different types of Pokemon that you can get throughout the game that have a fire typing, either solid or is like double typed and one of them's fire. What, just to make that even worse, is that one of those Pokemon that you could get is exclusive to Pearl. So Diamond only gets three types. Or three Pokemon, rather, that you can use fire with. And, you know, that might be good enough for a lot of people, but it seems the Pokemon fan base in general likes to have as much variety as possible, and that really paints you into a corner of having to pick Ho-Monkey, or Chimchar is what he's actually called, if you want a decent fire type in either of the games, honestly.
Interesting. So if you kind of don't pick Chimchar as your starter type, you're going to be boxed in. Is there a grass gym that you have to fight at some point, or something where like you kind of need fire types to get through it easier?
You know that grass is not the only thing that is weak to fire. So,
well, yeah, but it's like, just the one that comes to mind.
Well, you do have a grass. You have ice. So both of those, bam, you're good right there. You've got a steel gym. So that's three gyms right there that you would be totally great to have a good fire type with. There's even an Elite Four that is bug. Well, why don't you burn the bug too?
Gotcha. So is that, I mean, is it the variety? Is that where people kind of just had issues? Were the Pokemon just not as interesting? Or why do people not usually talk about Gen 4 as their fave?
Well, you can't really say people don't talk about Gen 4 as their fave because everybody has a gen that they like and everybody's very vocal about it. But I think even the people that love Gen 4 can agree that these issues that come up, their pacing is not great in the game, the spread of Pokemon not that great. They find other reasons to love it. One example, the music. When you are hopefully watching that video, if you can hear, can they hear the music?
It's going to be faint in the background, but it'll come through.
Okay. When you go, the character goes up to the lake, very early on, the music at the lake is amazing. I haven't played Gen 4, to be honest, in years and years and years, because it's not Gen 5. Why would I care? But they did a really good job with the music in this game. And I know that the storyline, and this applies to people complaining nowadays about the newer Pokemon, the storyline in this game is actually pretty dark. The evil team basically wants to wipe out everything and start all over. So everybody dies.
Yikes.
And for what's a kid's game, that's a little harsh.
So what about some of the good things, though? Because obviously it would be weird if we sat here and just talked about all the bad things about a classic game of the week. But surely there must have been things that Gen 4 brought to the table that future Pokemon games like influence. Like, you know, like Gen 2 was the first one with gender outside of Nidoran. Gen 3 had what, like the berries. And there's other stuff, too. Like, what was like new in Gen 4?
So the battle system in Gen 4, it changed up how attacks worked. It now, in Gen 4, attacks are either physical or special by how the attack actually operates. So, like, if it touches the enemy or not. That wasn't the case in the games up to this point. So, Thunder Punch is physical because it's a punch, and Hyper Beam would be special. So that's actually something that's been carried forward since the introduction in Gen 4. So that's definitely a legacy that you can look back to Gen 4 and be like, okay, this is where it started. This is why Pokemon battling feels better, to be honest.
And this was the first game that was dual screen, right? Because Gen 3 was a Game Boy Advance game, right? So Gen 4 was
correct.
The first, like, dual screen. Yeah.
Correct. And while it was dual screen, and probably because of it, a negative for you is that it dropped back down to 30 frames a second.
Ah.
So I don't think many people care about that, but, you know, just a little trivia there.
Yeah, interesting. Well, and plus, I guess it should be noted that, you know, now that we know that Gen 8 is going to be on the Switch, I mean, presumably we're going back to a single screen format. So it's like 4, 5, 6, and 7 will all kind of exist in this double screen world that is essentially, as far as we know anyway, is going to be gone on the Switch version. I mean, we don't know. They might split the screen on the Switch. They might do something, but we were kind of assuming we're going back to single screen.
Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, those abominations of Pokemon games, they were single screen.
That's true. But I mean, so, I guess those are, I count those as spin-offs, but I guess they are kind of Gen 1 remakes in a way.
But the Pokemon company does not count them as spin-offs. They count them as mainline games, which is a whole other fight for another day.
I guess so. Well, speaking of like remakes and all that stuff, did they ever remake Gen 4?
Not yet. It would technically be next in line.
Yeah, I was going to say, it should be the next one to be remade, but maybe not, because they went back to Gen 1, right?
Yeah, they did. Much to a lot of people's chagrins. But, you know, I feel like, since they're moving everything over from their quote-unquote handheld division of systems, even though the Switch is handheld, but it can be whatever, they needed to start off with something they felt was strong, and unfortunately just do the Gen 1 pandering and that should be strong enough.
I know this is a Gen 4 discussion, but I'd be a terrible host if I didn't ask, why do you not care for Gen 1, it seems? I mean, I guess, like, Gen 1, I don't know. Like, I think maybe because of Pokemon Go or people being kids that are, like, 30 and 40 now, they were kids when Gen 1 came out. It seems like there's so much nostalgia in Gen 1, but you don't like it nearly as much. You probably like Gen 4 more than you like Gen 1.
You're probably right. It's just the mechanics, the pacing. I don't like the Pokemon for the most part in Gen 1. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but outside of just a handful, they're not that interesting to me. But, you know, I get a lot of crap because my favorite's Gen 5, which is basically a remake of Gen 1, but using entirely different Pokemon. And I'm cool with that. I think it's great. But, and Gen 1 was my first game, too, so I don't even have that nostalgia there. But maybe I had, like, a rebirth of nostalgia because I was kind of, you know, not very hardcore into it until Gen 5 came out. And then I just threw myself into it and never looked back.
Well, if you want to compare to another geek culture thing, Episode 7 was essentially a remake of Episode 4, but we had to suffer through Episodes 1, 2, and 3 to get there. Right?
Oh, you're talking Star Wars.
Yes, correct.
It's like Episode 7 of what?
Star Wars. All right. The segment's running a little long. We got to get back to the show. Okay. But I have to ask about the actual... What?
I have one more thing I had to say about the real quick before you say anything. Because there is one major thing that I did not hit on that's super important. Is that Gen 4 introduced the global trade system. So that way you can throw Pokemon up, get something randomly back.
And that is, oh yeah, because like, you know, I remember using that in X and Y and the Sun and Moon. And like you just throw garbage out there and you'd get like hacked Pokemon in return.
Yeah, that's why I never used it. Well, my Pokemon are legit.
The thing I wanted to ask about before we go back to the live show is the Pokemon themselves. We've talked about a couple of them. I don't know if you don't want to name the one that's in the movie because maybe it's a potential spoiler. And we talked about Chimchar, but like, what are your? I mean, surely even if Gen 4 is kind of like your, it's all right. Like, what are like some of your favorite Pokemon that Gen 4 introduced?
Oh, that. Okay. I would say Shinx. Shinx's entire line. I love that. I actually still have, to this day, my original Shinx that I caught in that copy of Diamond. I passed him through the games all the way up. So, he would be my favorite. What other ones?
Well, my favorite is Bidoof. And the most memeable Pokemon, maybe besides Mudkip.
Yours is Bidoof. Okay, so I like all the starters. All the starters for Gen 4 are great. Like Turtwig, Drew, Empoleon, you guys are great. They have a really good bird line in Starly, going up to Staraptor. And then we did Shinx and Luxray, got that out of the way. And then really after that, not seeing a whole lot.
And I know this from playing Pokemon Go, which we should, you know, mention. Gen 4 is the most recent gen you can catch in Pokemon Go. They haven't unleashed Gen 5 yet, so kind of Gen 4 is like the new stuff, even though it's been a few months. But, you know, you kind of notice through Gen 4, there's a lot of, like, babies of earlier Pokemon, right? Like Munchlax. There's like a baby Snorlax, right? And there's also future evolutions of some of the, you know, Gen 1 Pokemon, like Magmortar is there, Electrovire, and then like Togepi from Gen 2 got Togekiss, right? So it's interesting that like a lot of Gen 4 is kind of just like evolves and devolves of some of the original Pokemon.
Yeah, and I guess that's sort of a theme you could put on to Gen 4 is that this one is all about breeding and evolution. So they give you new babies and new Evos for things that really didn't need them or should have had them earlier.
All right. Well,
we also got, because it's not Go yet, we also got new Eevee evolutions because it's an even number generation. So that was cool.
That's right. And those haven't showed up in Go yet. Go doesn't have all of Gen 4 yet, just a big chunk.
It's going to take like another year or so for the 5 left.
All right, well, we got to wrap up and head back live to the studio. But there it is, your classic game of the week. A timely selection with the new movie that everybody's talking about this week. But it's Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. And Shane, thank you for being here and filling in tonight. Do you have anything else you want to say? You want to give a quick spoiler-free review of Detective Pikachu real quick?
It was really, really awesome. And if you are a Pokemon fan at all, you will walk out of the theater wishing you could go to Rhyme City and live there forever.
I have to kind of agree with you. That's kind of how I felt. I loved, and I probably already said this earlier in the show, but I'll say it again. I loved how it just unapologetically made Pokemon real. Like they've just always been there.
And they did a great job with the designs, but there are like a couple standouts that are nightmare fuel, like absolute nightmare fuel. I won't say because I don't want to spoil, because at least one of them has not shown up in the trailer. So yeah,
that's fair. All right. Well, before we get into spoiler territory, we will go back to the show. Is there any like social media? I know you don't have a podcast regularly anymore, but is there anything you want to plug, social media or anything like that?
No, not really.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, Shane. And we're going to head back to the show live.
All right.
We're back. Thanks so much to Shane for helping to fill in this week with the classic game of the week. I kind of thought he might pick a Pokemon game. So it all worked out.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people were talking about that this week. But I like how he kind of tied it into the movie. And yeah, I didn't really think about that. But I guess there's really only like one Gen 4 Pokemon. Again, I don't know if it's spoilery, so I won't say who. But that shows up in the game. So it was kind of like not as well represented as maybe some other generations in the movie. I mean, I would have expected a lot of Gen 1
stuff. I think they had stuff sprinkled around, just not like main
characters.
Yeah,
he said there's like statues and paintings and things.
Well, no, I
really
think there's actually like legit Gen 4 Pokemon that were walking around, like in the, like especially in the beginning, like where it's kind of showing just like the city. Yeah.
Gotcha. And SJ100 Matt says Shane is currently seeing it his fifth time. I think he actually is on his second. He did say he was going back to see it on Sunday, but I don't think it's going to turn into like Love, Simon, which he saw like 40 or 45 times in theater. And that's not a figure of speech. Like, it was 40 times in theater. So I don't think it's going to be that. But yeah, it's good to have him back on the show. So even though we miss Dark Soccer tonight, but she'll be back next week. And I think she'll be due for a soundtrack next week. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to get back into what we're doing here tonight. Sadly, still don't have Jason in studio. I know his ETA was 7:30, but that was before he pulled over at a Safeway to use the Wi-Fi. So hopefully everything's still okay with him. We'll get to hear from him a little later on in the show. We still got some ground to cover, though, before we get there, right?
Yes.
Let's get to some rapid-fire news, Loki.
All right. So for May, we're getting some new games for the Nintendo Switch Online NES archive service. So we've got starting off with Donkey Kong Jr., Clue Clue Land, and Versus Excitebike. So those will be available on the 15th in a few more days. And then we've got a brand new Super Monkey Ball game apparently coming out soon. Apparently, Sega has filed a trademark in Japan for Tabegoro Super Monkey Ball. And apparently, Tabegoro translates to ripe or in season or good to eat, something along those lines. The thought, I think, was that this might be almost like a like a kind of a classic remake or something of like they did with the Sonic games. So maybe we'll see that with Super Monkey Ball instead.
Which I would be totally cool with because I thought Super Monkey Ball was a lot of fun. We haven't seen one of those games in a while.
No, a long time.
The last one I can think of was like on the Wii, maybe with the motion controls. It's about the last time I can think of.
Well, apparently the last one actually was released in 2014 on iOS and Android.
Oh, right. Of course, because there was a mobile phone one, of course.
Yes.
Of course. All right. Some other rapid fire news stories to talk about. I mentioned we'd talk about some of the other things that came up during the State of Play with PlayStation, and this was one that certainly caught my eye, is that they are making a game out of Predator, which, I mean, you know, Predator has had plenty of games, and I mean like the movie, right, the Predator. Predator's had certain video games before, but this is a new one called Predator Hunting Grounds. It is supposed to be a competitive online multiplayer experience. So that kind of sounds like one person's the predator and the rest are the prey.
It's Friday the 13th all over again.
Exactly.
It or sounds... what's the other
Evolve
one?
Evolve would be another
one. Evolve. There's
Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those types of things. So
didn't one of those have the Predator in it? I may be thinking of Call of Duty did like a thing.
Dead by Daylight has a lot of the slasher. I almost said Scream Queens, but slasher. Because I think they just spotted the ghost face from Scream is supposed to be coming to that. And some other things. But I don't know if Predator is one of them in Dead by Daylight.
They did a thing. It was for Call of Duty. It was one of the, I think it was Black Ops 3 or something like that, where they did like a special event where you could become the Predator type thing.
Hi, Jason. Good to see you in studio. If you're going to put your face on the camera, I have to acknowledge you because the Twitch people are going to be like, what's that? How are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this microphone ready for the deep, dulcet tones that are certainly not Jamie's voice?
I think so. In fact, it might actually be tuned a little high because Jamie, or you know what I mean? You might be actually coming through a little loud.
Bassy reverbery versus more airy and...
A little bit.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about Predator coming out on PlayStation. Do you like the Friday the 13th? No.
I've seen bits and pieces of Alien. I've never seen anything Predator.
Oh, okay.
I've enjoyed some of the Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th stuff that I've watched.
Okay. Yeah, Dead by Daylight is a huge Twitch game. I know you've been participating for a long time in Twitch culture. And we're probably one of the people that were like, you know, OLR should have moved to Twitch a long time ago. But Dead by Daylight is huge in Twitch culture. That's a very popular stream game out there.
Yeah, it's very role-playable and repeatedly role-playable.
Yes. I'm just going to turn your volume down just a tid.
Just a little bit.
All right, you're fine. You don't have to make those noises. It's a little weird. All right. Anyway.
I just like looking at the fancy little dials you have up here.
Yeah.
I haven't been here since this setup. It's been quite literally a year because work tends to have our all hands around May-ish.
Yeah. So this is the first time you've seen it with the whole video setup. It's really, if you think about it, as you can attest to, it's not that different from what it was before, except for I was more facing the wall instead of actually looking at my co-hosts.
Yep. Now it's all like video production and shit.
I know. The very first video production we ever did, I got a note that said, Rob, you never look at your co-hosts. I'm like, it's radio. I don't have to. We had to change that.
There's a lot of things. For all the things that you don't see, it's always fun to kind of look back and be able to sit there and hear all of the camaraderie and interaction and the fact that everybody is paying attention to each other and participating, but not necessarily in the showy presentation,
right.
Not necessarily needing all of the obvious body language and everything else that you deal with.
It's just multitasking. It's like having a phone call or something, or playing games online.
Yeah.
You know, talking on Discord or something like that. That's kind of like what it was.
Yeah.
But I do think there's always been a very, you know, not to toot our own horn very much, but I think part of what's made this show unique out of the literally thousands of gaming podcasts that are out there, not just how fucking long we've been doing it.
13 years.
Yeah. But the fact that we're in the same room doing it. Now, yeah. I know there's other shows that do it that way too, but I would say 5 or 10% tops are doing it in all the same room, and I think that's part of like kind of what makes this a little bit special.
Yep.
So yeah, fun. Anyway, yep. All right. So let's get
back. Longest running in many ways.
Let's get back into some other rapid fire news, and I'll come back and ask you about like your gaming week and all that fun stuff, and your trip today, because I still think that's hilarious that you pulled over at a Safeway to get us the bump tonight, and your intro, you very clearly didn't give a fuck, and I thought it was great. But let's talk about Castlevania. Oh, yes, that's a series we all love. And there's some new music that is coming out on the different streaming sites. So new Castlevania soundtracks, or I should say old Castlevania soundtracks, are new again, thanks to showing up on streaming websites, which include Spotify, which I know a lot of you use, Apple Music, and Google Play. Soundtracks such as Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Castlevania 64, Castlevania Chronicles, Curse of Darkness, Portrait of Ruin, and so forth. And Jason, just be aware, we can see your laptop a little bit, so just in case you're doing anything sensitive on there, just if you need to see the monitor, it's up there and shows you what they can see. I just don't want you to bring up like work stuff or something that might be sensitive, because you never know.
It's all blown out.
All right. Anyway, you can check out the Castlevania soundtracks on those various websites, which maybe I'll do later on. That sounds like a plan. Anyway, let's travel around the world and check out what is coming out in a store near you with some world release dates.
Yes, so we've got a few things coming out this week. So starting off with A Plague Tale Innocence on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Darkwood on PlayStation 4. Rage 2 is coming out this week on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Redout on Nintendo Switch. World End Syndrome on the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Bubsy, Paws on Fire on PC, Switch, and PlayStation 4. Speaking of Castlevania, the Castlevania Anniversary Collection is coming out this week.
Right.
PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
I forgot about that.
And then, of course, Darkwood is also coming out other days during this week on other systems, so on Switch and Xbox One as well. And that is it.
I wonder if that's kind of why they put out all those Castlevania soundtracks now, is to get people talking about Castlevania just in time for that collection to be on its way out to stores.
Maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, going to Japan. It's been a little slow in Japan because we're just off the heels of Golden Week, but we finally actually have some releases this week in Japan, even though it still is a little slow as we ramp up back after the holidays in Japan. But we do have Ease, Memory of Celceta. Coming out this week on the PlayStation 4. So that Ease series has been around forever. So that is pretty cool that that is coming out. And then over on the Nintendo Switch, Roller Coaster Tycoon Adventures gets a kind of localized. They're actually labeling it a multi-language release, but that is coming out in Japan. And Hanayaka Nari Wa Ga Ichizoku, Modern Nostalgia for Nintendo Switch in a regular and limited edition. That is really the only other release out there this week. So this came out on PlayStation 4 not that long ago. It's like you're finally getting to marry the maid girl of your dreams is what it looks like, or at least I don't know, it's kind of one of those visual novel type of games.
Gee, I never would have imagined where they'd get that storyline from.
I know, that's a good, what a completely unique
good help is hard to marry.
Yeah. Stop it. Anyway, we are going to get into the UK release dates, then we'll get to the mailbag.
Yeah, so the UK also has Rage 2 coming out as well on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. A Plague Tale Innocence on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Guilty Gear 20th Anniversary Edition on the Nintendo Switch. Wasteland 2 on Nintendo Switch. Sniper Elite V2 Remastered on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. And last but not least, the Steven Universe Double Pack on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch.
All right. Let's head on over to the mailbag. Every week we invite you guys to email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails here on the air, or else we talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. But we did get one email this week to save you from Drag Race discussion, which is probably for the best because Jamie's not here tonight. So do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, Jason?
No.
It's probably for the best. We did get an email tonight, an email from YYR, who emailed us to say, "Hello, LR. This email has been sent to acknowledge the Dream Game submission from last week's episode on Sunday, May 5th. Your submission has been received. Please allow 2 to 3 months for processing. Thank you for using the YYR Games Dream Game submission service." I don't even remember what I said.
Don't
and now
either.
I'm worried. What chat, what did we say for a dream? I seriously don't even remember what we said for a dream game last week. But that's how this show goes. Like, I just say things, and then a week goes by, and I'm like, what? So, yeah. That's good. A lot of people in the chat are like, "I forgot too." Well, luckily we have
ago? Our I don't know what happened 2 days ago.
Wait, you want me to go back and listen? I know I can't even remember what I did
what day yesterday. It is. What day is tomorrow?
What I know. If you ask me like what missions in Ingress I did literally earlier today, I'd be like,
the ones where you hack portals and destroy other ones.
There was one at Sutter's Fort. Anyway, thank you for the email. If you want to send us an email, participate at orangelaundrator.com. Oh, shit. Dark Tetsuya, I can't even remember what it was. Dang. So it didn't happen, almost.
If our historian can't remember.
That'll be funny, because if YYR is serious, then he might be exploring actually making a game out of it, which I don't know. Something he might just be in a tease or whatever. It would be really funny that, like, when he's ready to debut, he'd be like, "Remember when he asked for this?"
No!
No! No, but actually, you know what'll happen? It'll be because, I'll be like, when he says the name, I'll be like, "Oh, fuck. I did say that, didn't I?" That's usually how this goes. "I did say that, didn't I? Oh, man. Wow, I'm horrible." All right, anyway. Jason, we can use the opportunity to catch up with you a little bit.
Howdy, Rob.
How are you doing?
Long time no see.
So I know you're in the chair where the viewers can't see you as well, just because I knew you were coming here mid-show, so I didn't have time to figure out what the spacing would be like over here.
Just kind of do.
Just do. Oh, is the mic gonna
fit?
Do one
of these numbers.
Okay, you're gonna come up. Yeah, fuck Pikachu over there. All right. Hi, buddy.
He's getting enough airtime. We don't freaking need.
Just all these stuffed animals going everywhere. Who cares? Okay, why don't you
look at this.
You have that guy on your shoulder there. He'd be a little Pokemon partner. How have you been?
Especially in very, very recent times, quite busy.
Yeah.
That's
good though. That's better than sitting around being sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that still happens too.
Oh,
that's life.
That's life. We all have our sad days.
I have been following a wrestling promotion back home on and off for the last 3 years and change. And when I was at TwitchCon San Jose last October,
how was that? I'm sad. They did it on like the worst possible weekend for me. The worst.
It's better this year because it's September and not Halloween.
Is. And one of my friends is moving to San Diego, so I might have a place to stay.
And it's in San Diego again, which is even better. Freaking love Gaslamp. That place was amazing. Hands easily the best to date. It was busy. It was hectic. It was growing. It was everything that a con is supposed to be. You know, my personal opinions aside, it certainly went off, and they did amazing stuff, as they always do with content production and good expos. A lot of stuff that we saw in progress with Twitch extensions really starting to grow that we've seen a lot over the last couple of years. We're just kind of budding back then, and we've seen Twitch Sings that has debuted officially over the last couple of months. And for the music streamers that I follow, it's been fun seeing them do that. Add that to their repertoire of the content that they create on there as well.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about a Twitch, but I'm not a singer.
Somebody has some history with songs. I don't know. I don't know when it'll get added to the library, but we could have a reprieve over here.
My concern, and this will totally make sense why I say it's a concern slash, but it's also a positive. My concern is that if I do a Twitch Sing stream, it will give Travis Donovan a reason to come back. Which, don't get me wrong, that's the good side. Him coming back to do a show would be a good thing, but he would embarrass me every single week with whatever I decided to sing. If I just is like a prayer in Twitch
Sings. I haven't
paid
any attention. I can't even.
I sang that song.
Disney songs, and that's pretty much it.
I sang that song in a karaoke booth like 20 years ago and got a 15-year sentence for it, so... You know,
was it one of the ones that grades you, however the hell that works?
No, Travis Donovan and his audience graded me for the next 15 years.
Even better. Yeah. It'll actually be accurate. I went to some Korean system karaoke. Where was that? As a matter of fact, I think it was in San Diego that I was out there for work. And it gives you a score on a scale of 100 at the very end. And who even? I don't even.
Oh, yeah. Back in the DDR days when we were going to all those tournaments and all that shit, right? We went to a tournament in Koreatown in L.A., and I remember there was a DDR tournament going on, but it was freestyle, and I wasn't, like, judging or anything, and I'm not good at freestyle. Like, it's always, like, they did Perfect Attack in the morning and then freestyle, so I would do my Perfect Attack thing. So anyway, my point is Princess Irene and I ended up going in one of those karaoke booths in the back of the Korean arcade, and I shit you not, we spent at least, like, 3 hours in that thing. While the entire freestyle tournament was going on, we were singing, and it was one of those things that would grade you, because I remember the song that I got 100% on.
Oh, shit.
To this day, All Through the Night by Cyndi Lauper. Not one of her biggest hits.
Yeah, I can't even think of it by name.
I would sing it for you, but I'm not going to do that because it will be a clip. Anyway.
So when on the very last day of the con on Sunday, the wrestling promotion back home had a morning panel, and I didn't wake up for it in time. Fuck mornings and cons. I go there for the people anyway. So it's like, hey, that's happening. Okay, cool. I'll see you back home anyways. And as I was wrapping up from lunch, I literally was collecting my trash and standing up, and an individual with the promotion came in, sat down, and set the Twitch Championship title, which the promotion owns, sets it right on the table. I look at it. I look at him. I say, I know you. I missed your panel today, but I know you. And so the long and the short of it is that...
what's the promotion? Are you allowed to talk about it?
Absolutely. Rocky Mountain Pro is based in technically Golden, Colorado. It'll be said as just Denver more often.
That's kind of like any place in Colorado. People are like, oh, Denver?
Is it Denver?
Yeah, close enough. Yeah, close enough. Denver's kind of in
It's either middle. Denver, border, Colorado Springs, or freaking Flatlands.
Even when you used to say Colorado Springs, I'd be like, isn't that near Denver?
I live halfway in between Denver and Colorado Springs.
So. You know what? If I travel to Canada or something and I'm like, yeah, I'm from Sacramento, California. Huh? The capital? Huh? It's like 2 hours outside San Francisco. Oh, okay.
But yet, equidistant on I-5 if you're going north to San Francisco. As of the end of last year, they tape live and stream, and in the last month have a TV deal every single Thursday for 2 hours of content. They had a big camp weekend with a bunch of indie hopefuls and indie legacy, like legacy big tier names that were in for a whole weekend of training, and had events every single day, Thursday through Sunday. And that kind of inspired me to decide to get up and be part of the festivities. So I have been working with them since think it was the last
when
week
you say
of
working
March.
With, what are you doing promotions, or do you actually like commentate? Because your voice would be perfect. For
When we've done that in testing, I can't keep up with the speech. I've been so detached from wrestling that the detail is so hard for me to keep up with.
It takes practice. Video game commentating is a similar thing. Yeah. You have to practice and practice a lot.
I chiefly have been doing audio production for them, so actually getting mixers and everything else in order, working with the audio equipment they have. I've made a couple donations of my own. Yeah. Considering that if the camera wasn't on, that was going to be the very first thing I was going to come and do. I was going to walk in and go, this sounds a little weird, this sounds a little weird, okay. Listen
you
to
can
it
do
again
it after
later.
The show. Yeah. You have free. You can. I will. There's not a lot of people. I will say this to Jason, but you can touch things. You can touch things after the show.
Shinies.
If Bobby Blackwolf were here, don't touch that. Don't touch that. You can touch your own show.
Go back to your Commodore.
I'm kidding. I tease Bobby because I can, and I know he's watching. You would enjoy the wrestling stuff they do at the theater where we do Rocky Horror. I know I'm getting off base from video games, but whatever.
They do like
at the Colonial.
Yeah, the Colonial.
Yeah, they do like a minor league wrestling thing.
Jeez.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's not something I've obviously followed the big leagues. I've gotten a little bit, especially into the Japanese promotions as they've kind of gained prominence in the last couple of years. If anybody happens to know the name Joey Ryan, the Pornhub-sponsored indie wrestler, dead serious, and yes, he has a themed signature move.
I was going to suggest on Bobby's show that they sponsor E3 because, you know, if we're looking for a new sponsor for E3, it would make the show much more interesting.
Oh, Pornhub
would
put
get
on
into
E3?
It.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They would absolutely
so many people
get into
go,
that.
Anyway.
Joey Ryan.
CES is always the same time as the Adult Film Expo in Las Vegas. So, you know, why not?
Is that the case?
Yeah, in
I feel
early
like one
January.
Was January, one was February.
No, they're both January. Well, I don't know. One may have moved recently, but for a while they were around the same time. Anyway.
Joey Ryan has, I don't know officially what he calls it, come to think of it, but his competitor will ultimately wind up grabbing his dick and get suplexed with it. He is the Pornhub-sponsored wrestler. He has a glorious porn stash. He oils himself up in the ring. He is a character in the best possible ways of wrestling.
Okay, so I just want to preface, I'm allowed to say this. This is really gay. Yeah. Like what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's men just running around in their underwear slamming people down to the floor.
I just want to be clear.
We've come to, us fans have come to accept this.
Okay.
You know, dick suplexes are something straight out of Orgasmo, which that is something that needs a sequel, but, you know, we're never going to get that. We're going to get a Broadway play of that with a splash zone.
How about video games? Okay, look, I gotta bring it back from dick suplexing to video
happily
games. you been playing anything lately?
In my abundance of free time, considering that every Thursday with two prior days of the week of setup and then once a month – Thursday, Friday, Saturday again, and Sunday next month. And
Jesus.
Yeah, the cliff notes of the fun, exciting things is that I finally got around to playing Red Dead Redemption 1. I finished that with 15 minutes left to go in 2018. I was starting between a friend let me borrow Breath of the Wild, and so I was kind of alternating Breath of the Wild and Red Dead Redemption 2, and then I just went all in on Breath of the Wild. Still working on that to this day, just kind of exploring the entirety of the universe. I have all the divine beasts beaten and just having fun with everything.
There's a lot to explore, especially with the DLC.
And the hero path mode is like when a friend borrowed it, obviously he let me have the cartridge, and then I wound up saying, yeah, I am enjoying this and just buying it, and I just returned the cartridge to him the other day. But I did that with all the DLC and everything else, and so now I have the ability to actually see everywhere I went, and I'm like, and I don't have to. Was I in this part of the city? Did I go to this forest, this swamp, this?
Do you do some of the VR stuff too?
I do not currently have VR. I want it. There's a couple of VR installations in the Denver area of places that you can go pay couple bucks for 30 minutes, half an 30 minutes is half an hour, 30 minutes, hour, what have you. So I've played a couple. I've seen a whole bunch. I'm aware of it, but I don't personally have it in home yet.
I thought for some reason, didn't you have like Oculus at one point or something?
I played around with an Oculus at work.
I made that up
at a previous employer.
Maybe that's what it is.
That basically has been my year, has been Breath of the Wild, very large. A couple things, Ace Combat 7 came out and I fucking marched through that game and I enjoyed it. Really, really good OST. I love.
You don't hear a lot about that series on like gaming podcasts and mainstream stuff, but obviously, and you know, Zaku calls in once in a while. And he talks about flight sim games. I don't know if Ace Combat's really flight sim, but certainly they've
close,
made
close enough, but more arcadey, which appeals a lot more to me.
Would it be accurate to say it's kind of like how Gran Turismo is a driving sim, and so like you have a flight sim, but then you have like Initial D is more like an arcadey racer, and so
split the difference and call it Burnout.
Okay, yeah, Burnout. Yeah. Or what's the new one they made? Dangerous Driving, which I still have to play that. Yeah,
anyway. A lot of fun little destruction car racing offshoots in the last while. I missed out entirely on
Questbuster knows exactly this Ace Combat series. Ace Combat definitely leans more towards being an arcade sim. Think of it as Daytona, but in the sky with missiles.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it has a rad song.
I I haven't listened to it in ages.
Ace Combat.
Nice. Other than that, I spend way too much money and time at round one because we've had one back home since New Year's 2017. But
they're finally going to open the one here in a couple months.
Nice.
It says 2020 now on the sign.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what happened.
That's only freaking 6-7 months away. Yeah, what are you guys worried about? Because you guys haven't been fortunate enough with Bomani for the last freaking 15 years or anything.
Well, we still have to drive a little bit. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
oh, a little bit over to RVGL. Oh, well, yeah. Spada.
Sorry. Oh, I thought you meant like driving Conquer
and all that kind of stuff.
Well, there was that too. I remember when it was completely.
Is there
feasible.
A good? I don't know. There's music games RVGL.
Not anymore, but
there was
back
the
day.
Spada for a while.
Really?
How we all met?
That was like 2 years ago.
But I was saying, you're thinking Scandia. I think.
Oh, yeah, I am.
But anyway, I miss those days when it was like Friday after work. It's like, hey, let's be stupid and get in the car and go to Arcade Infinity. We'll stay the night at Motel 6. All right.
Yeah. Very formative for me in my teenage years.
Same.
God, when we freaking met.
Made this show.
People were talking about Distant Worlds because it came through town just the other day.
I brought this up on the show not that long ago. I mentioned we went to that concert. That was my first.
Dear Friends.
You were 18.
I was 18.
How old are you now?
Yeah, I was 18 because it was June 2004, so I hadn't turned 19 yet.
How old are you now?
33. I will be 34 in 2 months.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm the baby here. Yeah, my round one is friggin' awesome. They got Dance Rush a while ago, and because it is a Japanese arcade, they continue to get content updates, which is huge, huge in the modern trend of Bimani gaming. So a song, there's a pair of Swedish, I assume some European producers, because freaking everybody electro is in Sweden, Norway, Europe, named W&W that have some big room electro songs that I really like. And the Dance Rush content update has a song of W&W featuring Kitsune AI called The Light. And I am hopelessly addicted to that song right now.
I'll have to listen to that.
Dance Rush has a very small library, all things told, but it is the vast majority of it all original. It has some super good gems.
The first versions of a game often do.
Yeah, of course.
Smaller. Yeah.
All of what, 9 songs on DDR first, or 6 or 7?
It was less
like
than
that.
Yeah, it was like 6 or 7.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. Yeah. Well, good catching up. We should get back into our show role, though, but always a delight to have you here on the show. So we're literally a stop for you on the way to the Bay Area for your all-hands meeting, which was described in our chat what that means, because when you have a lot of remote employees, you bring them all in once a year.
We have over half of the company is remote, and while we communicate as well as we can there, it's always helpful to get people in person on the same page, high bandwidth to have all of these water cooler conversations and all these sorts of things that you can't do being remote.
And so, you don't fly.
I do not fly.
Point. So
that's why I was stuck in some kind of an animal incident up in Auburn. That's why I wound up being later.
Oh,
yeah, everything. There were like 10 or 11 emergency and service vehicles that cut through us up in Auburn.
You missed the crap that was going on down here earlier.
I think Waze was still using it because I realized it didn't even have me. It didn't even have me taking 50, anything like that. Just got close and then just south all
Did
the way down.
Did you leave
Colorado
this morning?
7 p.m. yesterday.
Have you slept?
2 or 3 or 4 hours or something. I nap on the way because charging takes a while.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
I'm feeling surprisingly good right now, considering all of that.
Must be gonna say, "What, you want coffee?"
I mean, bear in mind also the fact that I fell asleep before the end of the show last year when I did this. So there's a very good chance, especially me on camera, I'll be like,
"Well, if you need to go sit in that comfy chair, put the mic down on the pillow if you're gonna go to sleep." All right. Well, anyway,
you'll just hear a boom.
Let's move on. We got some more video game news to cover. It's great catching up, Jason, but we do want to get – I mean, we didn't have a lot of emails tonight anyway, so it was good to use that time to catch up a little bit and talk about what's going on. But I think we got some more gaming news to cover. So, Loki, why don't we get back into it here? And then we'll, of course, invite you guys to participate with us tonight as well via Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. SSG100 Matt says your third wind is kicking in. Yeah, probably.
Pretty accurate right now.
Probably. All right.
All right, so apparently there's a video that's out there that's showing somebody running an Xbox emulator on the Switch. They're doing this with apparently the L4T Linux is running on, and then they're running the XQMU Xbox emulator in there. And, of course, it doesn't run great yet. The video is actually showing them running at about four times the speed. And they've got, looks like, Jet Set Future on there, and Halo, I think, was being shown as well. But it's running really slow, obviously. But neat that they're able to actually do something like this. And apparently they're controlling right now with the PlayStation 4 controller. So it's kind of amazing that you have, you know, a Nintendo system running an Xbox game using a PlayStation 4 controller. So that's kind of crazy, but
hooray for
homebrew.
I kind of live for that kind of irony, though. You gotta, I do love it. Only in hacker culture.
And then throw in a dash of a week or two story of the Ruby executor environment in the last week or two that I remember seeing in the show role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
do you think this is going to add fuel to the Microsoft and Nintendo are getting in bed together at E3 rumors?
Well, I don't know about that.
I know this is all unofficial. Obviously, that's important. But it kind of shows that, well, if they want to run Microsoft stuff on the Switch, they probably could.
Well, not natively, I would think.
That's true. All right. Well, moving on to talk about something that is pretty exciting as far as accessibility is concerned over in the Microsoft world. Microsoft has recently submitted a patent that shows that there is a Braille accessory coming for their Xbox controller. Not that every patent always necessarily becomes an actual product, but it certainly has a lot of people thinking, wouldn't it be neat if it could? And Microsoft has certainly listened to a lot of calls out there for accessibility and adding that to their system, especially the adaptive controller. A lot of people have been talking about that recently, right? So this new patent submission shows Braille, and it's haptic Braille support. So I guess that means it's kind of using the little taps like you might have in some of the newer phones to kind of feel a little bit more like Braille. And it looks like the way it is on the controller, it's kind of on the back. So like you might be holding the controller, and then as your hands are kind of on the back of the controller, it might be actually tapping the Braille that you want to read there in the back. So that's kind of neat.
What's interesting about that picture, as far as I remember Braille, characters are never more than four dots high, although it's interesting that that one only has three, and then the two columns left and right. Like,
I think it's always a six-dot configuration for Braille, I think.
Doesn't sound right to me, but I also don't know Braille, so...
No. Let's see. So also in the patent, it talks about, although the gaming industry has made some progress towards improving a game's general accessibility, a need remains for improved game controllers and accessories that address the very specialized manner in which visually impaired or blind users interact with video games. And so they talked about that the controller would have various adaptations that provide alternative input and outputs to facilitate gameplay by sight impaired or blind users, as well as other users' knowledge of Braille. And I think what's most important about this whole, and I'm saying this very tongue-in-cheek, y'all, because I don't want to lessen the amazing news that this is. But I do notice in the patent, the game that is being played has some sort of cat on the stream, and it says, "Want to play?" So it's like a cat simulator game, I guess. And I would assume that "want to play" is what's coming through in the Braille.
For an input like that, you basically do have to re-explore how information is conceived entirely. So that's probably like Tamagotchi-esque, like something very simple, call and response. This is your status information about your virtual pet that you need to take care of.
So, I mean, I can sit here and go, wow, that's neat. You know, we need more accessibility options for folks, but I would really love to. And I know we have a couple of folks out there who are blind or otherwise visually impaired who listen to this show since, you know, it's been a podcast for years and years. I would so love to hear what your guys' thoughts are on this. Like, if this is something that you think is really going to impact you, I would really love to hear your thoughts on this. And, you know, again, we don't have confirmation from Microsoft that this is coming, and I think that's we don't want to get our hopes up too much, but it is really cool that at least they're thinking about it. So, you know, and putting their feelers out there to possibly have something like that in the future. So, as always, you can always send your emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com or your tweets over at OLR. So, yeah, and ActF says Microsoft is really cool with all the accessibility stuff. So, and Bobby.
Eight.
Oh, you saw the question from Bobby?
I was staring at it. had to mental map it. And eight.
Wanted to know how many superchargers on the way here.
That's right. Like I said, considering that all of the meaningful charging, especially across the wide sprawl of the open Western U.S., you get longer charge times at each of those. So 30 plus minutes and just kind of knock out, wake up, unplug, get to it again.
Okay. Wow. I'd be so dead tired. But anyways, but you know.
Yeah, I'm so dead tired. But I'm here and it's happy and you know, I'm settled.
That's right. We are happy to have you. All right, moving on. Loki, what do you have for us?
All right, so Nintendo has apparently shut down their anti-piracy website. So it looks like the last time.
Which means piracy for everybody.
Yes, that means it's open season for piracy, apparently.
Obviously, it is very much.
I like how the website, though, had like an angry faced Mario on there. Like, he's very annoyed. Like, how dare you?
Love Roms is gone. We win. It's over.
How dare you do that? But yeah, so no word on what exactly it means. All
the angry
know.
Face was specifically in response to the Commodore 64 port. Specifically.
Yeah, so originally the site was ap.nintendo.com, but now it just redirects to nintendo.com. So, oh well, guess it's piracy season now.
I think maybe it was more, it probably just wasn't getting a lot of traffic, and they kind of realized maybe the time it would spend to update that site. And
well, it looks
maybe
like, they just the last few updates, press release updates, were like from over a year ago, so...
The key thing is that Reggie was actually running that whole site himself. So when he left, it was done for. That's what really happened, honestly. No, I'm obviously making that up. Anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit about. Oh, this was interesting because this was put in our Discord server this week, and I thought it was an interesting story. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this, which has to do with EA and talking about how the way that they've been releasing games. May not be the way they're going to do that anymore because
it was stupid.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of think they're missing the obvious issues, but let's talk about it. So they had their financial results call. So that's a thing that the companies usually do is they have to answer to their stockholders because they are, you know, publicly traded companies. So they had to talk about Anthem and how it didn't live up to expectations. But EA did reaffirm support for the game and for BioWare. So they're not like they didn't come out on the call and say, and we're closing BioWare next month, which is a good thing. We don't want as much shit as we've given Anthem. We don't want to see that happen.
Unlike every other studio they buy up. Anyways,
but it was some of the other interesting comments here. CEO Andrew Wilson said during the call, the reality is it's not just an EA challenge, it's an industry-wide challenge. You're moving from what was initially a BioWare game, which would be somewhere between 40 and 80 hours of offline play, to 40 to 80 hours of offline play plus 100 or 200, 300 hours of Elder game that happens with millions of other players at scale online. So kind of talking about that always online and end game and all that stuff. As games have gotten bigger, that system isn't working as well as it has been done in years gone by. So what you should expect from us is that it's not just about changing the development processes in the game. It's not just about changing the QA processes in the game, although both those things are being changed dramatically inside our organization right now. But it also comes down to changing how we launch games. You should expect that we'll start to test things like soft launches, the same things that you see in the mobile space right now. And it also comes down to changing how we communicate with players. Our entire marketing organization now is moving out of presentation mode and into conversation mode and changing how we interact with players over time. See, I do think there's some good things in there. I do. I do think the fact that he says conversation versus presentation, I think that's important because that's showing that you're starting to realize that your fan base isn't stupid.
Yeah, it seems like they're taking some good steps towards writing everything, but then I remembered it's EA, so nothing's going to fucking change.
Well, We'll see. We'll see. But I want to continue on here. We think that we're in a really good position for this. I think this gets really hard if you don't have scale to do this, and so we feel very good about it. And over time, we hope that we can lead from the front and help other developers and publishers change the way they do things as well. I get a little nervous about EA talking about leading the pack when I feel like in many ways they're struggling right now versus some of these, you know, other, you know, you talk about, oh, the mobile games are doing the launches more correctly, which I'm not really sure what that means, a soft launch for mobile games. You know, obviously I think about big launches like Pokemon Go and how that actually kind of, in the beginning, it struggled a little bit with the server issues. Then it was the biggest fucking thing video gaming had seen in 10 years.
I know it's a crazy idea, but how about we just release the game when it's done?
That would certainly be. Well, also, you know, with the soft launch, I also kind of feel like, isn't that also kind of where Anthem shot itself in the foot and where Mass Effect Andromeda shot itself in the foot? By coming out a little early on those EA Access platforms, all the warts were on full display.
Yeah, and you know why, though? Because EA needs that extra money. You see, they don't really have to offer that type of service on EA Access, but that's what makes EA Access a little bit more appealing to certain people. But they want the extra money, so they don't give a shit.
Oh, by the way, since you brought it up, EA Access is going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 finally in July for $30 a year, which is the same as what they're charging on Xbox One. We don't know exactly what titles are on it, but we would just assume that there's going to be a lot of parallels to the Xbox One version of the service where this has existed for a while. They even mentioned that along with the back catalog of EA titles that's available in these games, you also get the Play First Trials. Hence where we saw Anthem and, you know, some of these other games that I'm not sure went so well for EA. So I think it's important that they kind of talk a little more, I think, what maybe a soft launch means to them. I'm not sure.
Beta test first.
Well, ActDeft in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, basically, we're going to launch games in beta phase and let the consumer be our beta testers. Maybe that's what they're saying. I don't know.
Well, it's because also, you know, these platforms, I think, also have the ability now to do this kind of early access bullshit where they can actually label these games early access. So they release them unfinished, as they do now, but just, you know, calling it unfinished.
Questbuster in chat says, this might be me, but it sounds a lot like EA's throwing a lot of smoke and mirrors in answering the question on Anthem, because games that follow a similar pattern like The Division 2 and Monster Hunter World didn't seem to have that issue. Good call out. Anthem clearly had issues, and the caller was asking about the issues of perception that were connected to Anthem. So it is interesting. I kind of like the way you phrase that, Questbuster, because it kind of makes it sound like the CEO kind of had his canned response ready to go, knowing that he'd kind of be called out. And it's like he had to get this canned response. He had to get that out at some point. I mean, I hate to make a Drag Race reference, but I'm going to. It's like sometimes queens flounder in the Snatch game, like Evie Oddly did, because they have certain things they have to get out. And so they'll put it out there when maybe it doesn't necessarily make sense in connection with the joke. That happens sometimes with these CEOs and so forth. So it was like he wanted to respond to this, and so maybe he took this question and kind of gave this completely like out-of-the-blue answer to kind of explain why. Well, we see it as a problem with the industry as a whole. It's not really Anthem's problem. It's the industry's problem. It's like we had to get that blame out there at some point.
I made that point years ago on the show. I don't even remember when.
Hipster.
It was easily 3 to 4 years. And it was an easy prediction because of the capabilities that Xbox Live really spearheaded, and we now see on every single system, Switch included, subscription, updates, all of this stuff. No game is ever finished, ever. There's always something that wasn't accounted for. There's always something that they had to scrap for time reasons, and they revisited and resolved.
Or sometimes it's fun to revisit things. World of Goo just got that update like 10 years later, right? We talked about that on last week's show.
I actually missed. I overlooked
right.
that news.
That's all right.
But yeah, I remember playing World of Goo in frickin' 05. That'd be more than 10 years. I wonder if that year is actually accurate. But I remember how. Yeah, I realize how old that game is.
Yeah,
it's not. With the proliferation of services, with the adoption of subscriptions, with the rising capabilities of what we have in our living rooms, on our computers, everything else now, it's not a surprise that in a grab for time and attention, that they're going to make something with more replayability, the entropy of other individuals, and, you know, stick you in a world with other people and let you make your own destiny, because people p- people like making their own decisions in as much as the game allows them to. Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise that we find ourselves here now. And so there's truth to what he said. In broad strokes, I actually paid no attention to Anthem.
I'm not completely dogging on what he's saying. Like I said, there's some pieces in there that I do think are relatively woke for a CEO. You know, all of these, like the whole, we need to change the way we're marketing games. Yes, you do. That's a great place to start. Let's start there. So, you know, we'll see what develops. E3 is going to be very interesting. EA will have a chance to show how they're going to sell games in the future with what they're doing in LA during E3 week. Even if they're not participating in the game direct or in the show directly, they've got their own parallel thing going on and games that they're going to be showing for this year. It will be very interesting to see how that message is relayed. So,
speaking of grabbing for attention from gamers, like there's only so many people they can cram into a physical space, but if they have the venue, they create the rules for everything they want to do.
That's right. All right, let's move on. Just a couple more stories before we open it up to potentially anybody that wants to call in on our Discord. So vognetwork.com/Discord. But before we get there, Loki.
So there was an estate sale for someone that was a former employee of Dick Animation City, who did a lot of...
What did you call that? I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's what they were. No, I remember. I remember the little animation.
Yes, so they did lots of like your favorite cartoons, like Inspector Gadget, the Real Ghostbusters, you know, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show type stuff. So they're a part of the Super Mario Brothers Power Hour. They had several different concepts that never really made it into actual cartoons, but they had promo art for, and these were actually sold during that estate sale. So some of the things that we see here, there is going to be an adaption for Double Dragon, which was actually looks a little bit better than what actually came out. They were going to do California Games, which looks kind of a stretch. Castlevania, which looks goddamn terrible, has nothing to do with Castlevania and more to do with like monsters and some kids.
I was just gonna say that reminds me of Zombies Ate My Neighbors more than Castlevania.
Yeah. And then Metroid with a male Samus Aran.
Whoops.
Which is Jake Spaceman.
Somebody clearly did not play the game when they designed the cartoon. Or they were about to make a very, very, very poor decision. Can you imagine if they tried to just suddenly make Samus
retcon
a dude?
That?
That was just, but that was like such an epic ending of a game to find out that, you know, this badass, you know, I kind of broke the trope and it made the badass hero a female, which is a great thing. So I just like the fact that somebody would have the audacity to change it to a dude. I would like to think it comes from a place of complete ignorance about the game and what they're really doing, which, you know, was the norm when it came to Hollywood and video games for a very yes. long time. And, you know, funny that we're sitting here this week talking about Detective Pikachu and how Detective Pikachu kind of got a lot of things right. But because I bet a lot of the people that made Detective Pikachu probably grew up on Pokemon. So yeah. We're in a very different place now. And there was a lot of, you know, the lore or what have you that was respected as opposed to changing things for the sake of change. So. Questbuster in chat says, I too am hoping that the version of Metroid came from a place of complete ignorance. I would honestly bet money it did.
It was probably just an idea to like pitch stuff to Nintendo. I'm sure that they, you know, denied.
Metroid probably looked at that, or I'm sorry, Nintendo probably looked at that Metroid thing and went, how about no?
Metroid and the Secret of the Ooze, given that boogery oozy typeface on
that
logo.
Is that Ridley or something? I don't know. Anyway.
I think it's just one of the Chozo type, I don't know.
Orange Wright does point out that the Double Dragon one looks better than the cartoon that actually came out for that.
That one looks authentic. California Games isn't terrible. I don't like the characters are nondescript, but yeah, those two are the standouts.
California Games doesn't exactly have a huge lore behind it. I guess that would be a hard one to fuck up.
Dudes on the beach, bro. Yeah,
that's what it would be, a totally like 90s, like everybody talking like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But real people.
It would be like American Gladiator season one in Malibu.
Double Dragon does look pretty awesome. Like, I would have preferred that to anything Double Dragon we've received so far.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys, and it has to do with another classic. And funny enough, it's a classic we just talked about last week when Bobby gave us that little guest spot in the middle of our show last week showing a Dragon's Lair that was ported to the TI-99/4A. Well, that's not the only port of Dragon's Lair that we're talking about this month, because Dragon's Lair, the trilogy, is coming to the Xbox One. That's right. And honestly, my first reaction was it wasn't already there. But no, apparently it is not. Dragon's Lair 2, Time Warp. And you might be wondering, there was a third Dragon's Lair game? No, but there was Space Ace. And it usually gets looped in with the Dragon's Lair games because they were all Don Bluth animated games after all.
Was Brain Dead 13?
Thank you. Yes, it was on PC compendiums. And I'm so sad that they are not bringing that.
I really like the characters in there.
Is a different publisher that ultimately put out those games? That's probably why.
I don't know. I haven't played it since the mid late 90s.
I think it was. But anyway, the games have been remastered and updated for modern audiences. God, what did they do? Did they rerun it in 4K? I don't know. But anyway, obviously, I mean, considering they're all hand drawn, it does still look really good. Like, I'm actually not dogging this whatsoever. It's just kind of one of those, like, okay, here we go. You know, like, I thought we already had Dragon's Lair on every platform possible. And then last week it was, nope, not the TI-99-4A. And then it's, okay, that's funny because that was from the 80s and that takes a lot of work. And now it's like, oh, no, they don't have all the new ones taken care of either. So I think it's pretty cool. Now, I would love it if they would bring back some of the other ports of these games. Like, there was a Commodore 64 port of these games. It was completely unlike the arcade games. I mean, it had some of the scenes inspired from the arcade, but, like, the chiptune music in Dragon's Lair was so fucking good. Like, I really can't overstate it. So, anyway. Dragon's Lair Trilogy will be out on Xbox One on May 17th. And I love this. Would you like the current list of platforms that Dragon's Lair is available on? Yes, you do. Dragon's Lair, currently available on PC, Atari ST, Halcyon, Laser Interactive, Mega CD, Jaguar CD, 3DO, DVD, Blu-ray, CDI, NES, SNES, Game Boy Color, PS3, Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Wii, ZX Spectrum, Commodore 64, Amstrad CPC 464, Nintendo DSi, and iOS and Android devices. They left off TI-99-4A. I'm going to send an angry email.
NES?
Well, here's the thing. The NES and Commodore 64 is in there, too. They weren't exactly direct ports of the arcade game.
Yeah, I know
it
that.
It was like the dramatic
downsample that the SNES version did, but yeah. I didn't know anything prefacing that.
Brain Dead 13 did get ported over to iOS, so it's on mobile on the Apple side of the house. But that was in 2010, so who knows if that actually... Yeah, it says December 1st of 2010, they added support for iOS 3 and 4.2. Woo. So most likely it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
that's
beyond so many architectural barriers.
Oh, it might be shut out on that whole 32-bit to 64-bit thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
That, and it's not even iOS 4 compatible. It won't even have that tag on its page. So.
Bobby Blackwell says, the Dragon's Lair on the NES and SNES was a side-scrolling platformer. Yeah, I vaguely remember this. This is like the Commodore 64 one was like, I remember the very first sequence was when you were on a falling platform, and there was wind that was trying to blow you off the platform. So it wasn't like the arcade game. You had to like run in the opposite direction of the wind, and it was really hard. Those games were fucking hard. But anyway, Dark Tissue says NES Dragon's Lair was awful. So.
No surprise.
But these are going to be ports of the straight-up arcade version, you know, because it's very
easy. The animation,
easy.
The reference version.
It's very easy to port that now with Blu-ray.
Let's
and
play
technology.
A movie and drop in input,
exactly.
input check marks.
I love that type of stuff is like fully playable on like DVD and Blu-ray players. I think it's kind of neat. Anyway. All right, we are going to open up our Discord channel for your calls. So we're available right now over at vognetwork.com/Discord. If you want, you can ask us questions in chat. We're open there as well. Our chat room, of course, at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. If you have anything you want to talk about that we haven't got to yet tonight. Did you have any last-minute stories, Loki?
But there's a neat video of somebody that's recreating Metal Gear Solid in Dreams.
Huh.
It's too bad I never did get into...
When's Dreams come out already? I so want to check this out.
I don't know.
Like, I know it's been in, like, closed beta. Now it's not under NDA anymore. It's like this game is going to be talked to death before it ever comes out. Like, I really hope they get that out soon.
Sometime this year.
Okay.
It's coming out in 2019.
I was going to say maybe we'll get an update at E3, but at the same time, I actually don't think we will because Sony's not going to be there. And this is from Media Molecules, essentially a Sony studio, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess unless they put out a state of play around the same time or something else that they might have planned, I don't know if we're going to see that.
Certainly exclusive enough. A little big planet didn't exactly go much further than PS3, PS4, Vita, PSP.
So, anyway, I think I do see somebody that just landed in our green room there, so let's bring him on the air. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Rondo. How is everybody tonight?
Hey, we're doing good, Rama. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm hoping now that I'm trying Discord on my desktop again, we won't run into any issues the first few times I've called in.
You sound just fine. What's on your mind tonight?
Cool. Let me ask you something. This is something that came up on my Twitter feed briefly last week, and I just had like this confused look on my face of what is wrong with this current generation of gamers. Now, let me ask you, when it comes to spoilers, what is the general moratorium on how long you should wait before you talk about spoilers in a game?
I think you need to consider your audience is very important. Just consider who it is you're talking to and, you know, have they reasonably had an opportunity to see it yet? It's kind of like, I guess with the Avengers, I guess even the directors came out and said, after this weekend, you can talk spoilers, because they knew they had that Spider-Man trailer that was going to come out that Monday that has a major spoiler for Endgame right in the first 30 seconds of the trailer. So they, I guess, you know, had their own reasons for doing that. But I think it just kind of depends on your audience. I would say, honestly, like, also it depends on if the game takes a while to beat, but maybe like 6 weeks. But I don't know if there is just a hard line. I think you just have to kind of like consider your audience and just be like, hey, have you played that game yet? No? Okay, well, then I won't ruin it for you. But, you know, it's kind of like I would bet that most of our audience probably saw Detective Pikachu this weekend. But I think there's at least one or two who didn't. And so I don't want to ruin it for them. I would love to talk spoilers because there are some things I really want to say about it. But my need to talk about it does not outweigh the rights of those who haven't seen it yet to be genuinely delighted like I was with some of the twists.
Okay, all right. And I totally get where you're coming from, and I understand that. 6 weeks, yeah, I can see that. Now, what about if the period's about, 20 years?
That's a little extreme because I think at this point, I mean, movies that are that old, we spoil left and right, you know. Hey, guess what, everybody? Luke is Darth Vader's son. You know, did I get it right? I can't even remember. But you know, like those classic,
for straws,
like, you know,
there.
The sled was called Rosebud. Oh, my God. Right? Like, you know, those types of things I think people kind of are a little more open about at this point. So, yeah, 20 years. That's a bit much. It's in some ways, it's kind of like, well, what were you waiting for?
The plane came down safely, an airplane.
Is somebody mad because you talked about the Final Fantasy VII trailer and was like, hey, Aerith dies?
Thank you. That's where I was going to. This was with a friend of mine. She was tweeting about the fact that there are people complaining about the death of Aerith. And I'm just like, it's 20. But I get it to a certain extent. Because years ago, I was part of like the big one of the big Sailor Moon live journal groups. Dating myself here, hi. But I talked about the death of one of the Senshi, Minako, and people were giving me crap for it. But I'm like, it's been 6 months since the show was on the air.
Also, I would argue sometimes it's not necessarily about the spoiler itself, like a big twist like that like Aerith dies, but about the journey that we take to get there. And I think especially when it comes to the remake, we're all assuming she dies. Who's to say they're not going to take some massive, and I know y'all are looking at me like I'm fucking crazy, but we've also made those same jokes at the same time about the DLC to keep her alive. How do you know there won't be something to maybe bring her back later on as a response to a big fan movement or something like that? We all assume we know how it's going to go down. How do we know she doesn't die in a different manner or they make subtle changes? Look at a movie like A Star Is Born, right? They have made that movie 4 times. There was the original in the 30s. There's the Judy Garland version. There's the Barbra Streisand version. And now there's the Lady Gaga version. Essentially, that movie is pretty much the same plot. So I could tell you, I'm still going to be polite to those that maybe aren't aware that there is a big twist at the end of the movie. I'm not going to say what happens. But it's kind of been that same twist in all 4 iterations of A Star Is Born. However, how it goes down has been different every time. And how the movie ultimately ends as a result.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, to put on the whole aspect of Aerith's DLC, now, if I remember correctly, when Final Fantasy VII did come to the U.S., there were some changes, and basically, if you wanted to play as Aerith, you needed an actual replay to do so, whereas I believe in the Japanese version, not so much. So I could see them pulling some type of plot twist where, oh, she is alive, but she ends up dying towards the end of the game or something like that. I could see Square Enix being a bag of dicks doing that.
And by the way, I just want to point out, because our chat room's kind of talking about this and talking about Game of Thrones, which we all know is the same time as OLR, only one more week do I have to deal with the ratings drop because of Game of Thrones.
The last season's been kind of eh, anyway.
I heard last week's episode was not good, so but people are still watching tonight for whatever reason.
I'm going to – it's two more episodes and then that's it.
This is it. But here's my point. Here's my point. I'm not knocking Game of Thrones. Those of you that are into it, cool. I think that's great. I'm really glad you're still here in spite of that being on right now. But the chat room is completely right. People have no respect for Game of Thrones spoilers on social media. And it's the same for me. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. It's the exact same thing. I have been spoiled on like every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race because of social media. And people always say to me like, well, why don't you just stay off social media then? And I'm like, you know, like kind of fuck you. I use social media for more than just RuPaul's Drag Race. And like it's like I can't help the fact I live on the West Coast, so I can't watch it at the same time. It's not on – I mean – I could find an internet piracy stream, but, you know, it's just, you know, you go on social media, you're going to get spoiled. But does it ruin Drag Race? Does it ruin Game of Thrones if you find out that, well, I don't even want to say. Like, there's a massive spoiler in the first season, and somebody who's known for dying a lot dies again in the first season. Most people generally know that by now. I'm sorry if I ruined it for you, but if you haven't watched the first season at this point, you're not going to.
And, so what you're saying is Kenny dies again.
Yes, only that. So my point is that going to ruin the entire series? I mean, if it's a good show, it's not going to totally ruin it. Not that I think you should go around screaming these spoilers at the top of your lungs, but, you know.
You know, and you're right. Now, I have this thing about spoilers. I'm the type of person where I don't care if you spoil it or not. I already know ahead of time if I'm going to watch it or not, but don't bring it to my social media about the spoilers, because you don't know who I follow will see that. Directly send it to me. And I understand about respecting of spoilers. Yes, you got those people who will spoil regardless. And then you got those, it happens purely by accident. And then when you see people about to talk about it, they give you this fair warning. Now, I understand that if you don't want to be spoiled, that you should go off of social media. And I understand for a business point of view, it's something you really can't do. But it's like, at what point do you say, you know, I'm going to take a walk, or no, you should take a walk, yada, yada, yada. Because I know with Avengers Endgame, let's just say there were death threats going across my feed left and right. And I'm sitting in the chair eating Doritos just seeing how this plays out. Because I have actually seen people block and unfriend each other over this, and I understand how big Marvel movies are, but I'm like, are you really saying that this movie is so important, means so much to you, that you're going to get upset over a spoiler and end what could have been like a 15-year friendship over it?
Here's the thing. I'm gonna kind of wrap it up on this, and I want to make sure we have some time to get some of our other callers. As much as sure. I enjoy talking to you, Rama. I think when it comes to spoilers, another very important thing to do is just consider your audience. Like, you know, I'm sitting here doing this podcast and I kind of realize, you know, it's probably not the right time for me to talk about Detective Pikachu yet because not a lot of people have seen it. But probably about the time Detective Pikachu is no longer in theaters, I'm going to probably be, you know, those people that cared enough about spoilers went and saw the movie when they had the chance in theaters. So now maybe I'm going to talk about it, but I'm still going to be considerate and say, hey, spoiler, I'm going to, you know, even when we do talk about spoilers for Detective Pikachu or whatever it is, I keep using that as an example, I'm going to say, hey, real quick, I want to talk a Detective Pikachu spoiler. So if you like still didn't see it because you're waiting for Netflix or something, like fast forward 30 seconds, you know, or whatever it is. Just consider your audience and just, you know, have 5 seconds of consideration. But at the same time, you have to show a little leeway for movies and games and other medias that have been out for 20 years. Because there comes a point where it's like, if you're not going to watch it or play it and you still haven't, then you're clearly not going to.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the Hobbits took the ring to Mordor? They made it to Mordor, tossed it in the river?
Did what? What?
No, Smaug died?
All right, anyway. All right, that's it. We're going to go to another call. Rama, it's great to hear from you as always, though.
Always, though.
Take care, y'all. Later.
Hey, you going to watch the Ingress anime?
As soon as Netflix drops it, yes, I've been a good anime fan. I haven't been going through alternate means to watch it. I've been waiting.
Rama, it's on there now. It dropped a week and a half ago.
Oh shit! Do you know?
I watched part of it earlier this week. So yeah, it's on there.
Bye, my friend.
Bye.
All right, let's get to another call.
I did not like it.
All right, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is SSJ Wanger Matt.
Hey, it's great to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
Not much. I wanted to call in and talk about the loot box situation that's going on.
Please, what's your perspective on all this?
So I think a lot of companies have kind of like done a lot better job with handling loot boxes. Like Overwatch kind of, it's mostly just skins and everything. And everybody's just trying to transition because they know something like what's being proposed in the Senate could happen. EA, on the other hand, relies heavily on, you know, the loot box stuff with their sport games. Primarily like with FIFA, Madden, and I think also with, but also with like with NHL.
Yep.
It's called Ultimate Team.
Yep.
Yep. And where you pretty much, you're buying packs to get players to build a team. And there's like boosted players, there's periodic different players coming in and out, and you're basically use these players to go up against other people.
I swear to God, if you're an executive at EA and you're not working on a contingency plan for what happens if the plug gets pulled on loot boxes legally tomorrow, you shouldn't be an executive getting paid that kind of salary at EA. Like, I really think, like, these folks have a responsibility. I mean, you know, sure, they can think about how to milk this loot box thing for all it's worth, but you have to have a little bit of fucking foresight. And if what's going on here isn't a wake-up call for you to figure out how you're going to, I don't know, make money, and whether that be that you just put out good games or you think about a way to rope people in with subscription, maybe, you know, sports things go to EA Play. I don't know. There's a million things. But, like, if you're at EA and you're an executive and you're not thinking about what am I going to do if this loot box thing goes away tomorrow, then, like, you kind of deserve to fail. Like, I know it sounds really harsh, but you've got to be thinking a few steps ahead because – it's very possible that this could change. And I don't think that anything I proposed a little bit ago about make it a little bit harder to spend the money so that people are still able to spend money, I don't think is as harsh of a all of a sudden these companies are going to lose so much money as people might think when I say that.
It's always funny picking up stuff on the Xbox with Games with Gold because you go to an Xbox One title, it's mine. Admittedly, I have an active subscription, so this point kind of falls flat, but you're in the Microsoft store on the Xbox One, you go to Games with Gold, you pick up the Xbox One games, tap, get, done. And then since they still have their 360 compatibility layer, it's always a funny reminder when I still have to explicitly put in my passphrase that changes that cognitive load just a little bit out of the process as well. And admittedly, this is, you know, me, myself, and Irene that I'm talking about. Not Princess Irene, but
she's been on the show forever. I miss her.
Talking about little old me and nothing else, but like mobile. Anything I say is going to be rehashing what you're saying. Yes, there are parental controls. Yes, there are ways of doing prepaid cards so you can't run up freaking thousands of dollars of charges. Plenty of banking options for kids to learn what money actually is when it's not counting dollar bills anymore.
Let me ask this question, Matt, and I'm gonna do this with a great thing we do in the corporate world, which is don't bring me problems, bring me solutions, right? We've all heard that in the corporate world, right? So what I'm saying is maybe you don't have an answer for this, Matt, and it's okay. How do you think the industry fixes this problem?
Well, I think a lot of companies have kind of like tried to do like the best that they can. But I think with like the issue with like EA, what they're going to have to do is like right now in the, like the little bit of research I did before this call, EA with the Ultimate Team revenue that they get is about $800 million. So they're going to like try everything possible to try to avoid, you know, this happening. But in the cases where last year there was a lawsuit in Belgium over these loot boxes being considered gambling, EA ended up settling with that. And what they did in Belgium, all the Belgian players who play FIFA, they can't purchase points with real money. They have to earn that money in game.
And
they just flipped it off.
It's so interesting how many corporations, and that's why I say, like, you kind of pick and choose what, you know, what losses you're willing to take to still be able to make the money. And so many gaming companies wrote off Belgium. That's what's happened. That's what so many gaming companies have done. They've just written off Belgium. Well, yep. We just can't make money that way in Belgium anymore. Just wrote yep. it off.
And, like, real quickly, my possible idea for how they would, like, try to, like, get around this or, like, yeah. try to fix it is that they would maybe kind of do, like, what Fortnite does and have, like, a rotating, you know, skin thing where it's, like, every 12 hours a new skin will be out or, like, if, in this case with the EA Sports games, a player will be available. And a special player will be available, and you can only get that with money purchased like that. So it's like they'll take out the randomness, but just like you still have to spend money, real money, to just buy that player.
Heroes of the Storm and League of Legends are actually that's kind of like what they do. Like you have like a rotating roster of free heroes. And they rotate, but if you decide you like one, you can kind of pay either the gold that you did a lot of grinding in game to earn, or you just, hey, you can spend real money on some gems and use the gems to buy the hero. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because that is kind of the way that like League of Legends or something works. And they don't seem to be in as much hot water as certain other games. So be interesting.
Yep. And I think that's like the little loophole that I think a lot of companies are going to have to do.
All right. Well, great, great topic, Matt. I appreciate your insight. I'm going to let you go so we can squeeze in one more call. But thanks so much for the call, okay?
Sure thing. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, buddy. All right. Let's bring in one more call, and we will say hello. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Pixel Pacas.
It is so good to hear from you, Pixel Pacas. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to talk a bit about dreams and like some of the questions you had in this show in the last episode.
Please do. When do I get to play it? When do I get to play it?
I mean, that's the question that's been up and is still not answered. But supposedly it will come out in full, complete form later this year. But there's no month or anything even. But what I think is interesting and what I kind of learned by watching some of the Media Molecule live streams is basically they're treating the current version that's out right now on PS4 as like the game is out. The creation tools are basically all there ready. They may tweak some stuff and fix bugs, but as far as the creation aspect of the game is concerned, they feel like that's a 1.0 that's out now, that's ready for everyone. What they're working on still is actually a single player mode. And also VR, a VR version of Dreams, which is not ready yet.
And I wonder if there isn't, you know, sort of some asset to having the creation tools out there in advance so that when the game launches, they're going to be able to say over 5,000 games already available or whatever the number is. Obviously, I'm pulling that out of my ass. But basically, by allowing people to create and kind of use that now, you know, they're going to be able to come out and say, we've already have all these games in Dreams. So if you plunk down the $60 to pick this game up, you're going to get access to all of this. And that's...
Well, I think they also want to know what kind of things people are doing with the game so they can figure out what tools to make to enhance.
Penis levels galore. You get a penis and you get a penis. That's what? It's art on video game stuff. Of course, there's going to be that. Come on.
Sure sounds an awful lot like a soft launch.
This game's going to be a flop.
That was a triple entendre I just pulled there.
What was I going to say with all of that? Damn it. Damn you. I was actually going to say, hopefully, like Little Big Planet, there'll be a Parker Posey level. Because to this day, that's my favorite level they ever came out with in Little Big Planet. Somebody did a shrine to Parker Posey, and you just unlocked all these Parker Posey stickers and things like that. Man, Little Big Planet was such a great fucking game.
Little Big Planet was a great series.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. I'm always like, I miss it, and I wish they'd put out another one. It's like, oh, that's kind of what they're doing with Dreams.
I never did play through 3, so I still could do that.
Yeah.
Because it's in my library.
Why not? And let me ask this, Pixel Podcast, have you gotten your hands on Dreams yet? Are you playing it?
Yes, I am. I've mostly actually been sort of playing other people's stuff. I went through like the tutorials that they give you for how to create things, but I'm not really, I don't have a vision in my head of like what I could create. So I've just been sort of sampling everyone else's stuff.
Uh-huh.
They have this fun mode that's kind of like channel surfing, basically, where you just sort of go through a level of someone's game and go to another level and someone else, you just sort of check out different stuff. And I've been having a lot of fun with that, actually. Just that component, I feel, is worth it to me, personally, just to see what weird shit people are making. Because, you know, it's not all games. Some people have made, like, little movies or music videos or some sort of artwork that they're displaying. You can kind of look around and walk through.
You know,
so it's been really fun.
Mario Maker's kind of done that too. Like, the majority of what you see in Mario Maker are Mario levels. And of course, you see the hell levels, asshole Mario type of stuff. But then you have those Mario levels that are like, this Mario level plays itself. And as it plays itself, it plays a song. And I remember that was a big thing in Little Big Planet too, is you hop in the car and it will like just zoom through the level and play a song as you're zooming through. So it is interesting to see how people kind of use that toolbox. And I think, you know, the general consensus that we're coming up with here is kind of on the head, is that the creators kind of want to see what that looks like as well. So maybe they know how to market their game a little bit. But let me ask you this before we let you go so we can wrap up. Give us an example of one thing that you've played in Dreams that made you go, whoa, that was cool.
So, I mean, my favorite things have really been just seeing the weird stuff that people are experimenting with. Like, I saw this one, just this thing called Rat City. It's kind of like a noir-themed world with rats who, like, smoke and wear fedoras. And it's not really, there's not even a game. It's just sort of you're inhibiting this, exploring this person's world that they have made. And you could add a game to it, but it's, I just thought it was fun to see. Here is the stuff that people are creating who I assume, you know, I don't know if they are developers, they've done anything before, but it's just someone making like this thing that they've always wanted to see in a video game. And I feel that it's very powerful that you could just sort of make what you want. Or like someone I've seen, I can't remember the name of, but this person who's been using the Dreams tools to sculpt things. And so they've made like this museum digitally of their sculptures. And put little stories with it. So you like go up to a sculpture and you hear like a narration going on. So it's kind of like a lot of, I like the kind of walking simulator type things that they're putting in, but it's just sort of like the freedom for someone to make what they have wanted to make and not have a way to express that because maybe they don't know how to use Unity or Unreal Engine. You know, they're not a programmer per se, but they're still able to share their art with everyone. And I find that really exciting just in and of itself.
And you know what's so interesting about the way you describe that when you talk about like making an experience that's kind of like, if I could make a video game, this is kind of like the adventure that's in my head, or this is what I'm going to be making with the tools that are in front of me, this story that I particularly have that I want to tell. I am so, so, so reminded of an experience that was 25 years ago that we don't shut up about on this show to date. ZZT. I mean, think about it. I mean, I realize Dreams is going to be a lot more, you know, a lot fancier, a lot showier. But if you think about it, man, remember making games? Remember downloading the ZZT levels on a BBS?
Yes.
And you're like, what is this crack smoker smoking making this level? You know, all those like different things, like getting inside crazy people's heads. And like some of the things that, and not just, you know, obviously like, you know, people that have artistic visions and stuff too. Just seeing the things that people come up with is just mind-blowing. It's awesome. So anyway. I am so excited for this game to launch. So be sure to let me know when I can buy it, okay?
Will do.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Take care. And thanks so much for the call.
Yeah. See you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was some good calls tonight. You're good luck. You should come to the show more often. We get some good calls when you're here. Not
That's
that we,
a lot of driving.
Not that the calls are bad when you're not here. We had a lot of some nights we're sitting here going, please call us. We had some solid calls tonight. I appreciate that. Hey, if for whatever reason you were being shy, you didn't want to call in or what have you, you can always send us an email, participate@orangelaundradio.com. You can also reach out to us on Twitter @OLR. But for now, unless Loki has any other last minute stories.
Nope.
I doubt he does. All right, then I think we're going to start to wrap things up here for tonight.
Finishing off what I wanted to say in response to that call, have you guys by chance seen the director's commentary and behind-the-scenes stuff of Ready Player One?
No. I mean, God, I barely saw the movie. I mean, I obviously I did see it. Bobby finally made me sit down and watch it in his fancy
If you get access to, if you decide to buy, if you have any way of been able to see the behind the scenes stuff, please do, because I saw like everything you just talked about with ZZT way back in the past. I played that at a friend's house. I was more a Moo Mud exploration individual.
I'm going to do a live stream of ZZT this week. I think kids today don't understand.
The coolest.
We're going to educate the children with some ZZT.
The coolest modern environment system that I have ever seen was in the behind the scenes of Ready Player One. Hmm. They filmed everything with the actors, because as you know, good half-ish of it is in a virtual world, more than half. And what they did was they created a – they shot all of the footage so that they had all of the actors' mocap. And then they created a crude, rendered world of – oh, man, am I seriously going to forget what it was called?
Oasis.
Shit. Thank you. Oh man, I never rewatched the movie. So they created almost a literal game using the world data of Oasis for Spielberg to act like a director. He had a backpack, a camera, a virtual camera rig, VR glasses, and he shot the virtual world with the real actors' footage. So there were some stock, you know, T poses, crude animations. It wasn't polished, but he could take his vision, his director's eye, he could take the capabilities of what he's literally spent his entire professional life doing and apply it into a virtual world that people created for him. It looked fucking phenomenal, because he's in a world. He's a player in a world. He gets his zoom, he gets his lens, he gets his depth, he gets everything else. You know, I want this transition, I want this angle for this movement. And he got to direct the virtual world after the casting shooting was done.
And it's also interesting to think about, where is that going to lead future Hollywood movies?
Yeah.
That sort of way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like after The Matrix came out, then it was, how are all these other movies going to use bullet time? You know, right? I mean, but
it is a piece of our era. It is definitely what we're coming into.
Did you, speaking of which, you of all people, did you hear these recent rumors about a Matrix sequel?
Yes.
Recently, like out of the blue?
Yes.
But I mean, the Wachowskis don't have Sense8 anymore. Rest in peace. So it would make sense that if they want to work on a new movie, they might. That might be. Why not?
Yes.
I know. I'd be all about that, too. I think they
just
should
look
do
at
it.
John Wick. Yes. I all want right. more.
All right, anyway,
Kiana and all the things.
We got to wrap up. We're coming up on the 3-hour mark, and we got a late start as it was, so we got to wrap up for the show tonight. Jason, it's great to have you here, and again, thank you for everything. You guys don't understand. Like, this show would not fucking be here still if Jason did not help in a tremendous way, as he does all the time. So thank you so much.
I like pushing buttons. I like playing with tech.
And we like hearing what you have to say here on the show, sitting in the studio when you can. So not only do you do the epic voiceovers, but we appreciate hearing your perspective.
Most of the times when I'm not sitting in my car, freaking 8,000 feet, however high truck he is, and yeah.
Well, you're welcome back anytime.
But I had the gear there, and I got it done, and it was relevant. That's what I go for.
Well, we'll hear from you next week, if nothing else.
Yep.
All right. I got the bottom of the well on all my parodies again, so I have to invent new ones for the coming weeks. So we'll see. All right. I welcome listener submissions as well. In fact, I think I still have some in that one email that I never did. So
could probably do since a lot of this is old stuff coming around again. Star Wars, Lion King, Aladdin,
don't
all that kind of stuff is ripe for the picking.
Don't spoil. We'll talk about it offline. All right. any final thoughts or what have you for our listeners tonight?
Good night. Right. Good night.
Yeah,
actual night of sleep after the road.
Take a nap. You deserve it. As I say towards the end of every episode of Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't out there to put out over the air, then we can't air them. So please help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. Auto hosts on Twitch for VOG Network go a long, long way. I put out a tweet basically ugly begging for that today, and it worked. So thank you to those of you that added us to your list. That really helps with discoverability. We really appreciate that. Loki, do you have a final thought for us tonight?
Sure. I'll mention real quick. 30th anniversary of the Ninja Turtles game from the NES in Japan. So that's today. And apparently
that's
the
30th
anniversary of the Mega Drive as well. That was on the 20th.
All right. And my final thought is I really should have done all 18 missions today, but my lazy ass only did 6. What can you do? All right.
Time constraints and everything else. I do have a final thought.
All right.
I want to re-record what you're about to press play on.
Oh, the out. You want to redo the outro?
Eventually.
All right. Sorry. Eventually.
I want it with my microphone, well, you know, and my setup at home.
And I've been talking about having a new intro song. I mean, we love MIDI Head and we appreciate, but like, let's be real. We have driven that intro song into the ground over probably like 15 of the 17 years we've used that song.
Sounds
so
about right.
Might be.
I've had ideas, but unfortunately, such grandiose ideas that they'll never come to light.
As far as your games. Maybe we should ask your kid to write an intro. At least we know it'll get done.
Dude, the game's right here, okay? You see, there's a game right here.
I watched him play it. He went around a little maze with a webcam.
That's it. We're out. Fade to black. We're done for the night. We'll see you in 7 days. Episode 777 next week. Dark Soccer will be back with us, and then you know it's going to be a big show because we get a week off after that. So
lucky.
Have a great night, everybody. Thank you for being here. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.